And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, I'm still getting ready in the tie and push the button. Yep, see, now I'm all pretty. Yep. Well, we did yesterday. Donna and I went horseback riding. I'll show you some pictures. Let's do that. Let's see what you got here. Oh, it's called White Tank Mountains, west of the valley. And I finally found that all these years, you know, since the early 70s I've lived here, and I never knew why they called it White Tanks. It's because of this white granite that you see in the washes, you know, big granite boulders everywhere. And they would see it from the distance, and they went up to it, and there were some water holes there, the tanks, you know, I guess. And they called it White Tanks. So I'm going, okay, that's why they call it white. I had no idea. I'm like, what the heck they call it White Tanks for? But it was just a, I called, is this a mosey, a meandering, you know, a gallop? I mean, what are we talking this is we're just kind of, you know, walking through, and it's called meandering. We're meandering through the desert. Well, it was nice, and it could, you know, sign here and wave, having to wear a helmet. And I go, nope, want a helmet. I've had too many, you know, scary adventures on horses. I go, yay, a helmet. Give me that. So it's been, and I think I had a mule. It was, I'm pretty sure it was a mule. Now, one thing I noticed about the difference between mules and horses is that the mules have smaller hooves, about probably half the size of horses. Okay, this is interesting. I asked the cowboy that was leading us, and I go like this. I said, that's some of Donna's pictures. I have some more, and she'll get them up there later. But the, I go, you know, I have some questions. You know, like, what's the history of horseshoes? Why do they have horseshoes when they got horseshoes? Who brought the horseshoes? Because horses didn't have horseshoes. Why they got horseshoes? You know, to go through stuff like that. I didn't really get a really good answer other than it came from Europe because of the cobblestone, and now they do it because. I don't know. But I go, all right, I know that mules are a crossbreed between donkeys and horses. That's what a mule is. And they have a lot of features. They're strong, and they have a lot of endurance, and they're ornery, you know, that's one thing. But there's some advantages to them, I guess, is a pack mule. Mules are strong, and, you know, they're not donkeys, but they have a lot of the same features. And I go, okay, so how do you breed them? Is it artificial insemination? Do they naturally breed in the wild? Is it Neanderthals and Homo sapiens, you know, doing their business? I mean, you know, how does this work? And which one, if it's a cross between a donkey and a horse, which one's the father, or does it matter? So they say usually it is the male is the donkey, and the female is the whore. I go, okay, so is there a stepladder? I mean, you know, I got to get visual here because, man, these are, you know, horses are pretty, you know, like three times the size of a donkey. I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, the female horse, the mare, you know, gets squatted down, you know, baby got back or something. I mean, somebody help me out here. And and they go, well, you just kind of, you put them together in there, and you come back later, and then the business is done. I don't know. I haven't been around for the copulation. So I'm okay. So wrong guy to ask, but it was an interesting question, don't you think? I mean, of course, and the one thing is I did know that when you produce a mule, they're sterile. You know, they're not able to have children. But I'm going, did you produce just female mules or just male mules or both and they're sterile, but do they have sex or are they eunuchs or, you know, these are things I didn't get into, don't know. We were trail riding, I didn't care. But so it was very nice out in the West Valley. One thing I did ask if there were any mines or anything out there, because as a kid, we'd go out to White Tanks where I used to ride my motorcycles and so on, and we'd have picnics and everything. And we used to live in the West Valley. Well, I go, you know, are there any mines? Or no, there's no, no, that's the Bradshaws. You know, it's between Phoenix and Prescott. You know, we'd go up there and there's a lot of gold and silver mines and stuff. And you can go, as a matter of fact, we've gone up there. We had a bunch of us went a couple of years ago, camped overnight and had some gold dredging people, you know, helping and learning. We got some gold. You know, we did, and we went and mined it ourselves. We even did in the dime cards. We put big flakes of gold on the dime. There were special ones with gold stars on, and we sealed them, and it had gold in it, you know, just because. So I go, well, is there any out here? And he goes, no, nothing. You know, I go, well, that explains it. Maybe I was doing it right, but I spent years as a kid out here, you know, looking for gold, you know. So now I know. Wasn't me. There's no gold there. So I had a much greater appreciation for the West Valley. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've been up to White Tanks. I mean, God, I think it was probably 14 or something. You know, between 13 and 15, we used to take our motorcycles out there and go in the areas where you could ride your motorcycles. And this area, it's just hiking, bikes, and horses. And we went driving around looking for a place that, you know, picnic and go and visit and grandkid thing. So Don and I, after the trail ride, we saw some improved roads that they had going back into the mountains and looking to go, wow, this is a really nice place. And then we went back into where they developed and it has a racing mountain bike place. So I'm going, wow, you know, it's a time competition kind of set track thing. And that guy's, you know, guy out there, he's like, yeah, okay. And go, and boom, and he's off on his mountain bike thing. Now, I used to do mountain biking back in the mid-90s in North Mountain Park, where we used to live close by. I mean, it's like across the street, and I was, you know, there. So we would do a lot of that. I enjoy that. But I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, and I saw, oh, I forgot to tell you, I got to do a drift bike. Okay. I'll tell you this. At the Consumer Electronics Show, I want to finish this one. They had these big tires. They're like 6 inches around. I mean, across. They're big tires that are, you know, for going on the beaches in California. There's a beach bike, and so you can ride on in the surf zone there or on the wet sand kind of thing. It won't sink in, and you can, you know, ride along the beach. It's a beach bike. So I go, okay, because you've had, you know, you're not doing a little 10-speed, you know, razor tire kind of thing. You know, that, yeah, you're off the sidewalk or the street, and, you know, that's not working out well. So they go way the other way, big, giant tires. Well, they took one of these, and they put an electric motor on it. And then that way you can cruise around. It's like 30-mile range. You're cruising up and down the beach. You're going in the sand. You know, I'm going, wow, these are cool. Well, I saw these at a bike shop. We had me and one of my granddaughters put her in the, you know, the little carrier trailer thing. And we, Donna and I and her, we were going to go out for a ride. And her valve stem broke off or something. So we had to go get inner tubes. And I said, well, that's cool. We'll just go take the bike and that'll be our ride. You know, I don't have enough time to, you know, go get it and fix the tire and everything. We had a window. I said, no, we're going to go ride. You can go grandpa. So it's like, I don't know, a mile and a half away or something. So we took her in there, go through the neighborhoods and everything, and careful cross the street, you know, and how the lights work, and, you know, see it's counting down, it's green, and we go. And we get them. While we're there, I see a big wheel for grandpa. I saw it at Consumer Electronics Show a couple years ago, and they go down the mountain road, sliding around a big wheel, drifting and stuff. And he goes, you want to do it? And he had an electric one. And I went in the back parking lot, and I rolled it in front of my granddaughter. It was awesome. We'll be right back.
Reform.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, we lost the signal. Okay, we'll check on that. The what Don and I did, I saw it as a Groupon, and it was relatively inexpensive. I mean, two people for, I don't know, $79 or something. And I go, yeah, we wanted to do that. You know, we've been thinking about taking a ride and stuff, and that's been, you know, like a thing. So I, you know, few months ago, it was a, you know, Groupon, man. It's like going to Sam's Club. You know, it's you buy that really cool stainless steel bar stool shop thing right then, or it's not there anymore. Hey, what? We don't know what you're talking about. We had 400 of those at one time, and now they're gone. So, you know, you take advantage of it. Now, some of the pictures here, what you see in the distance, that's the Cardinal Stadium. You know, off in the distance out there, we're west of the valley. I mean, you just see this mountain range in the west of the valley, and it's like, you know, you have Central Avenue, you know, you get to about 99th Avenue, and that's where the Cardinal Stadium is. And then this is like 300-something Avenue, so it's way out, you know, west of the valley. It's on the west slope of the valley here in Phoenix. But this is what the tourists see. So these are a lot of people that were hangover from, you know, the Super Bowl. And this one young girl in front of me, her husband worked on the North Slope, you know, North Pole or whatever, I mean, you know, in oil exploration. And he spends 3 weeks in the minus 60 whatever degrees, and then 3 weeks well, he did go to, they did live in Anchorage, and they just said, you know what, going from minus 60 to, you know, minus 3 is not a big giant improvement. So he's going, no, 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 no. And they're originally from the Valley. He said, no, we're moving to Phoenix. So they came in, Chandler or Gilbert or something, which is East Valley. And they go, we're going to go ahead and move to Phoenix so when I can warm my bones. I get off of the oil rigs up and then I warm my bones. I need bone warming. So he was back doing, she was out riding with her mom or friend or something. And then there was a young girl that came up the trail, up the tail end behind Donna. That's me behind Donna. She was behind me most of the time. But my mule did not like being behind that one for whatever reason. But anyway, so she was an employee that's just, you know, started working there, helping and so on. And this stable had been taken over by some new people that started investing some money in it and getting the signs done, and it's just looking prettier. And what they do is you pay $6, you know, as your contribution for someone to watch the horse poop dry up or something. I mean, there's some maintenance thing for the county or whatever. But then that gave us the ability to go, okay, fine, let's drive back in there, because they had a little toll booth thing. And I'm going, they had out in the middle of nothing, right here, less than 300 yards from where we're standing right there, there's nothing for miles. But there was a Maricopa County library. And I go, what's that building there? It's kind of nice, you know, kind of blended in. They had it colored kind of, you know, Palo Verde green. So I should have took a picture of it. And I'm going, okay, why, what's that? That's the county library. For what? Well, for books. For whom? Well, you know, I don't know, people that kind of live out here. Well, who lives out here? You're not even allowed to build. This is in a preserved. You put it up. But what are you talking about? Who built this library in the middle of nothing? I'm going, So I just, you know, a friend of mine, it's just like, you know, if they can, they are, you know, the realization thing. He goes like this. I tell his daughters, he goes, I tell my daughters, it doesn't make any sense, just look for the government tie. You know, well, it was Maricopa County. So I'm just like, okay, I get it. And the best I could get is that the valley was expanding during the boom before the 08, you know, slap. They were just on the outskirts. They were just building infrastructure. It just whatever excuse they could do, just build stuff. Build sidewalks, roads, traffic lights, you know, street lights, whatever. You know, they were just building. And it was just a massive government infrastructure build, too. Well, this is, if they went to the West Valley and they said, you see the mountains up there? Well, you know, go until you can't go anymore so we don't have to build a cliff house and build a library. Well, that's what the heck they did. And I'm going, okay. They added to it, and nature something, you know, and I'm going, okay. I'm wondering how many people go out there. So, anyway. But it is a nice infrastructure that they got for all 15 people that used it, I guess. But for the winter visitors, that was another thing that made me realize, I go up, we got some people working on it now, is that the tourist industry here in Arizona is big. So what I wanted to do is I go, oh, we're going to contact a tourist. I know who to call and who to talk to, and the Arizona magazines and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because, like, Colorado is known for recreational marijuana visiting. I go, well, there's no reason why Arizona can't be the Bitcoin state. Bitcoin. Yeah, we go bring your Bitcoin here to Arizona and travel in Bitcoin. We got Bitcoin. And I go, ow, but there's news going on in Bitcoin. Oh, we're going to talk about it. All right. Let me give you the, you know, skip to the end version of this while we watch the beautiful Arizona desert. This is like 45 minutes from my house, you know. This is what it's like. You get out in the desert, you're in the desert. And that's one thing, you know, oh, the evil, here they come and parachuting in and Red Dawn and all that and kind of stuff. Well, you better got that desert thing covered because we have a whole bunch of drones out there because a lot of people know where to go. Well, this is the one thing that's got me concerned. Yesterday, the guilty, in sentence, but guilty, Ross Ulbricht, all charges in the Silk Road trial. So, guilty. Now, not a shock, I'm sure. So, guilty. Well, they're negotiating of, you know, how much of your money you're going to give us, and maybe we'll let you go something. We need a password. I don't know what's going on. So, right when he is announced guilty, the same day, we have Ben Lasky from the New York Department of Financial Services, which is, you know, regulations of banks in Manhattan is what it means. So, I'm going, okay. He comes out with the Bitcoin license rules of thou shalt, and if you don't, you're going to jail money launderer, okay? This is, you know, Bitcoin represents a big change in the way banking is done, and they're just, oh, heck no. So this, you cannot, and he made it very clear. And from the beginning, and, you know, Money 2020 event that he spoke at, and he just wanted to be very clear. You are not going to be allowed to be anonymous. You are not going to be allowed to do yada, yada, yada without know your customer. You are not going to be able to do money laundering. You're not going to be able to use money anonymously. You're not, according to them. So my thing is, does the technology hold up to that and doesn't care? Because where it, they get the know your customer thing is the exchanges. When you start taking your Bitcoin, converting it into dollars or through your bank and so on. And this is a lot of the stuff that we need to explain to people what the tech does, what the law is, and how those two interface and using it as a brick and mortar or a merchant or online or whatever. That's what the Bitcoin Summit's going to be about. You know, we need to understand what the heck everybody is talking about. Everybody's doing inside baseball and how much they're going to compromise or not and how philosophically pure sure they're going to be or not, and, oh, we got millions to make, and why can't we, and we should. So I'm just going, no, we just need to understand the tech and what the real issues are, philosophically and technically. So that's what's happening for the Bitcoin Summit that we're doing on Pi Day, March 14th, at the Sheridan Crescent, where we do our Freedom Summit. So it'll be nice. So I'm going, all right. Talking to the people, I've been going to different events, I've been pimping it out, we're getting the artwork done, they're working on the, you know, the nice brochure, we're talking to various different wallets and exchanges and so on. It looks like BitPay is going to supply us with some stuff. We got some of the other exchanges, you know, I don't want to name a bunch, but the reason BitPay is that, or was it Coinbase or some of these guys, I want to make sure that the merchants have somebody to talk to. But I'm starting to see, I'm going, okay, the strata in the space has generally gone like this. There are those that want to be totally anarcho, leave me aloneist, anonymous, no contribution, retribution thing. And there's others that want to get wide adoption, expansion, that it's like PayPal, BitPay, PayPal, you know, Bitcoin, and is right up there with Visa or whatever. And that they think this wide adoption globally, that's going to be with a permission slip from the government, because they don't want to get SWAT teamed, because anywhere you have a central point of failure, the man can go. And that was the point about Bitcoin. It didn't promise to interface with the system, it promised to avoid it, to ignore it, to be around it, over it. So I'm going, okay, I need to know this. So as I started looking at people in the space, you see that there is a meeting this weekend that's going on now in the Caribbean. I think it's Dominican Republic. Now, Bruce Fenton is putting it on, the gentleman that debated Cody Wilson for the Bitcoin Foundation board that we had on for a few hours a couple of weeks ago in their debate, followed the next day by Andreas Antonopoulos, you know, for lack of a better term, Mr. Bitcoin, that came on, did a postmortem on it. So I can see, you know, this is what I anticipate is happening. I'm trying to get some people to come on air to talk about it. Now, I've talked to some of the big guys in it, and I spent yesterday in some conversations with them and say, hey, you should come on. Don't want to. You know, big name. Hey, you know what the other? Yes. And I got friend. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. So behind the scenes, you know, people know they just don't want to, you know, it's you're talking, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, at stake. So anybody come out and say anything, they just know they're going to get attacked in various different ways. Certainly when you're going up against Wall Street interest. Wall Street has invested millions of dollars, $75 million in just one company, to be compliant with the man. Here we have the Uncle Sam. They go, oh, you got to do it this way if you want to do it, and you're going to do it. You got to do it this way and do it. And they go, okay. Yes, boss, we get on the lap and yeehaw, man. You know what I want for Christmas is a bunch of monopolized industry money of nobody else can do it, and I'm doing it, and pick me, pick me. So this is what's going on right now. You have a group in the Bitcoin, you know, represented by, you know, those that don't mind getting their monopolized, nobody else can do it, permit slip of license of I comply, know my customer, and I turn them all in, and it's just a faster, better way of the man making and controlling money. And I go, okay. Then there's the other side that, yeah, we still, you know, we're willing to do whatever we got to do. We don't like it, but, you know, whatever we got to do to comply with know your customer and some pieces of our industry that allows and we can do in bank account. And I go, okay. So that kind of represented, I guess, by BitPay. Now, the people that are kind of libertarian leaning, understand the power of the technology, but want to interface with the system to grow outside of, and the rest of the world gets banked and online with Bitcoin. Those guys are in competition with the people that are, nope, we're Wall Street and need to be approved and secured time. We're going into a new way. We're going to rule the universe in one world order money of over here. So it's just and this is what we keep talking about in libertarian campaigns here. You're not talking any difference. You're just talking a matter of degree. See, once you give up the principle, then it's just a matter of how much I'm going to rule you and, you know, how mean I'm going to be about it, you know, and it's a matter of a degree of tyranny. So right now, I suspect, and we will find out next week, we know some people that know people, and we got people that are at this meeting in the Caribbean. Now, I gave a speech in October at Coins in the Kingdom in Orlando, Florida, that I don't think we've played on the show, and it's 8 minutes, and next segment, I think we got 2 hours until we get to the, I want to go over this stuff. The third hour, we have a young man coming on that I think is, you know, really cool. What?
I didn't hear your...
Yeah, like, I know. I, you know, what's them? The so what we're going to do is I have this one gentleman, me and my granddaughter Elin were going to get bicycle tubes and we're riding our bikes. On the corner was a guy holding up a sign saying... yardsalewatch.com, you know, get your app, download, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, is that the guy that's doing it? Is he just marketing for it? Or what? I go, this is kind of a cool idea. And I talked to him for, I don't know, a couple of seconds, gave me a card. And then I, you know, get this guy on. So we got him on in the third hour. And what it is that it's kind of like Waze, you know, when you're doing traffic and you're, you know, people, it's kind of traffic news, you know, from people in the traffic, you know, so it's kind of cool. And you can mark, well, it's kind cop here, to cop here, to cop here, and you put it on, ooh, and you see all the cops of everybody telling you, kind of, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a traffic thing. You know, James Babb showed it to me, and I'm going, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, when I get into traffic or I'm traveling, I might use it, but I don't commute that much. But I can see this is kind of the same thing for yard sales. Everybody puts it, hey, what's this yard sale? Take a picture, you put it in, or you load up your own yard sale, or you start showing yard sales, you take a picture of the thing, so people kind of, it's just kind of a community of yard sales. And I guarantee there's a bunch of people do this. They're going to be pimping out this app. So we're going to talk about that. And I think it's kind of cool, but that's not what I really, it's someone here that's doing it on a cool idea that has this kind of social networking thing is open. I want to know about the construction of the app, going through that process, how that's done, how it's working out, how it's expanding, how they're marketing it. Okay. So we're going to learn a lot about that, you know, kind of a cool startup on an app there, and we'll see what happens. Maybe that'll be interesting. But so this weekend, think about what happened just yesterday. Ross Ulbricht, guilty, guilty, guilty. New York Department of Financial Service, yeah, damn, Skippy is guilty, and to not go to jail and not get in death and SWAT team, you got to follow these Bitcoin license rules. Oh, how about that timing? And at the same time, you have guys in the secret Caribbean island meeting, and that was a big thing in the space. Oh, is this transparency? Is this, you know, the Bruce Fenton running for the Bitcoin Foundation that's going on about how we need to open up all the secret agreements that, you know, the Bitcoin Foundation having the negotiation with the government of kind of in the foreign, blah, 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 blah. We need to know what you guys were really, and then he goes and has a secret, you know, Caribbean island meeting. Right. So that didn't go over really well. So then I got the news that, well, we're going to pay $3,000 to these people to videotape, and we'll have it, and we'll kind of sort of almost release an edited version up. And we're just going, yeah, you're paying the guy. It's not like you have the journalists. It's not like a lot of these, you know, guys. There's plenty of people that are talking about and being journalists in the Bitcoin space. And there's a lot of cool things out there. I mean, very creative news YouTube channels that's talking about and so on. We're trying to get some of these guys on. But it's and I got a lot of news from you. You'll have like a 5-minute segment. There's this one guy called DJ Booth. He's called Flipside out of Australia. So he covers it, and he don't want to come on. He's like, no, I got a wife and kids, and these guys are brutal, man. I just do my little 5-minute spiel and control it that way, and I'm done. So I'm okay. He was a Curve TV guy. When we were at Consumer Electronics Show from Australia, make sure you get pictures of Curve TVs. Oh, my God, this must be the greatest day, Curve TVs, and I don't care. So he's like, he just been making fun of it. So I'm going, all right. No. So then we have another gentleman named Tom, and he does a thing called Mad Bitcoin. Mad Bitcoin. Mad Bitcoin. And it's very informative. Between those two guys and some of the other crypto, you know, Megan Kellison, MK Lords, she does her own show called, I don't know, Crypto Cosmo something talking, Confo or something like that. And so she does a good job in covering news of what's going on here. The anarchist, neoconish, leave me aloneist people, they are we in break? Is that what the deal?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we got to check the you know, the connection here. I think there was a problem. And I pushed the button. Yep, timed out. Connect. There we go. Okay. And what's the time? Yeah, okay. So we're good. What we did is we could see that the space was separating into various different factions. One of the factions is just, you know, comply or die, or we need wide adoption. I keep hearing this a lot. This is their mantra, wide adoption, okay? By who? By whom? By government? Is that what you need? I mean, your wide adoption. I don't understand what you adoption. It doesn't matter what government does or says. People aren't going to do anything unless it's easy to use, unless it's convenient, it's better, it's faster mousetrap, okay? You give me, you know, a better, faster, more lethal ratinator, electric five freaking rodents, you know, the size of kookaburra, you know, then I'm all over it. Well, they're not talking about that. They're talking about, you know, a permission slip. So this is, I'm going, the tech holds up whether you do or do not have a permission slip or it doesn't. This has been my mantra for years. Right when it got to where the technology was being able to demonstrate that for ease of use, the security features could be as a default setting in the wallets, and that it's really starting to become much more widely adopted, that's when I'm going, yay, here we go. But that's not what's going on. What's going on is that there are those that see that collectively, as a company that's making profit, that you can become a gazillionaire with this tech. But you have to, you know, kiss the ring, or you're going to get SWAT teamed if you're doing business in the United States, and that's where the big market is. Well, some people, I get the impression that Ira Miller and Eric Voorhees with Coinapult went to Panama, and they're going, yeah, well, you guys have America, and that's all interesting, but we're not doing business with any IP from America, no addresses coming out of America's servers, no, we're not, and we're going to take over the rest of the world. Certainly the developing world. Certainly, you know, the loincloth 12-year-old kid with a smartphone, you know, strapped to his belt. I mean, you know. So I'm going, I can see what's being played in here, but what's going on at this little secret meeting in the Caribbean, and I think it's the Dominican Republic, that is Jekyll Island, you know, for Bitcoin. I mean, it's, you know, it's the secret of we're working, negotiating with kind of thing. And it's not really going over well in a lot in the space. And it's what I've been screaming all this time. And they say, Ernie, you just don't know. And you're a moron. And you're grandpa. And all this. I'm going, look, if they can, they are. You just need to find out where it is that they can. And it's at the development. I suspect that Bruce Fenton, they're all starting to see that the Bitcoin Foundation has lost any credibility, certainly after the three-hour debate between him and Cody Wilson. And they're just going, yeah, this Bitcoin Foundation, we're going to have to, you know, cast that off and start something else. Andreas Antonopoulos talked about there's a program called Lighthouse that's kind of like Kickstarter, you know, with Bitcoin stuff and so on. And one of the projects they wanted to do is funding the core developers that are doing the tech. Now, a lot of people, you know, just as bamboozled as I am by this, but you have little code changes and working on this open source thing called Bitcoin, but it has, fortunately, the way it was set up is it has to be approved by the users and the miners and all this other stuff if they make any changes that is acceptable to the community. Because if it's not, they just don't use it, you know, and it goes to the other chain stuff. But this is getting more complicated, and I keep asking the same questions, and the people that really know, I'm kind of like getting there a little bit evasive. So I warned when we come back, you know, I'll play just 8 minutes of a speech I gave warning of exactly this, and then we'll discuss it. We'll be right back.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Bitcoin Summit.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. There's, you know, it's like I always ask. I go, you know, do I need to know? You know, a lot of the guy, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I just don't need to know, and it's the same old, been down this road before, heard the song, I get it, and got the T-shirt and everything. So I go, so what's going on? I mean, you see above the clouds kind of the lightning above, and kind of, do I need to go up there and take a look, or I don't care? So you go up, and you see the thunderbolts being thrown by, you know, I rule you, and they all got different logos and ideologies on their chest and so on, and does it, the people even know, care, does it affect them, and not, well, this Bitcoin thing and the going away of the dollar and the financials of you guys, the future is done. It's already going to be a lot different. It's just who's going to control the tech and can it be controlled? You know, these are the questions. So when they had the, I had opportunity to speak at a Bitcoin thing, yeah, they know me as a supporter, but I'm not the tech guys. You know, I'm not the understand. I just know what I want. You know, I want to be left alone. I want to be able to, you know, have the freedom as an individual to interface with the rest of the planet without somebody looking over my shoulder. And I feel that I'm just livestock inside a, you know, a fence. Each country is a pen. It's a corral. It's like, how nice is your corral? I don't know. It's pretty damn nice. We got, you know, like roads and this and that and everything. But, you know, the rancher, you know, tattoos our forehead and wants to know everything that we do. And then, well, how's your corral? There's a corral? I don't have anything, and I, you know, somebody says they rule me, and but I'm just a bunch of dirt until they find oil, and then, you know, it's it gets to be a nice corral again, and then they control you. So it's just the mindset of the people are just livestock in jurisdictions called countries. And I'm like, the Generation Next, they're not thinking this way. They can't. You know, why would they? You know, it's just an app that goes all over. I mean, before it used to be, you know, calling the phone number in, and now the country is like, you had to get permission from AT&T. You know, you go like this, you go, I wish to make a long-distance phone call, and you got somebody, you know, saying, well, you know, pushing the button and doing it, and you just can't do it yourself. You know, you had an operator. Why do they call them operators? I'm an operator. I operate on stuff. I mean, I operator. I don't know what that mean, a controller or something. So all this has kind of gone away. This decentralized, distributed mindset of everything is going to change the world. So I'm going to play this. This is kind of what I was talking about at the Coins in the Kingdom. And maybe you'll be able to pick out my point. And at the end, I kind of predicted, I was worried about this kind of meeting would happen. Thank you.
This is going to be the shortest Ernie Hancock speech ever. 10 minutes is what I was given. That's all I wanted because I wanted to make some observations from a grain activist that was a lot of you young guys back in the late 80s, early 90s. And you see trends coming and you see things happening, and there's some things I wanted to point out and have us thinking as we go through this evolution of Bitcoin. Because I do a radio show 9 to noon on several networks, every Monday through Friday, and we talk to a lot of the people that have been very instrumental in the development of Bitcoin since, I think, the earliest ones were in 10. So this has been 4 or 5 years that we've been discussing this. One thing that I always bring up, they, them, those. Who are they? Let me tell you who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. It's no more complicated than that. You think it is, but it's not. So what we advocate for in my show is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, because the Declaration of Independence made it very clear. They didn't say what kind of government they wanted to have. It's just they knew how to recognize when it was bad. When it's not defending the rights of the individual, it's bad. It's bad. Okay? So what we want to do is try to make sure that Bitcoin develops in such a way that it is supportive of the rights of the individual in a lot of ways. Is that what's happening? I want to point out some things. Can they, them, those won't leave us alone, can they do something to maintain, enhance, expand their power over the individual to do what they want? Can they? They go, well, do you think they're doing this or this thing or this conspiracy? I go, I don't know. Can they? Then they are. What, you think there's some moral hurdle they got to get over? We shouldn't do that. That would be wrong. If it maintains or enhances or expands their scope and control over individuals, you damn skippy they're going to do it. So I need to know if it's technologically possible to advance the interests of those with coercive power, then it will eventually become politically inevitable. So you need to know, is it technologically capable of they, them, those to do whatever it is that they want to the individual? If it is, then they will. And anybody that's got a little gray knows this to be true. Every single, not most of the time, every single time. We have to keep this in mind. So how do we know who the bad guys are? Well, they're the ones that won't leave you alone. You know, you got the alien visitors from Alpha Sin Volca Klingon. I don't care. You know, which category are they to go in? The ones that leave me alone or the ones that do peaceful trade? Get in line with the other guys. You see, it doesn't make any difference. It's much easier when you think of it that way. When individuals wish to uncover the secrets and expose the lies, which is the theme on Freedom's Phoenix, I'm the publisher of Freedom's Phoenix, where will their support come from? You have things like Wikipedia. You know, what did they do? They shut down their credit cards, right? You have antiwar.com. People are supporting them. What do? They surveil the people that are doing it. They want to have tracking on it. So what do they start doing? Antiwar.com. Bitcoin, not bombs. That's where that came from, was support of things like antiwar.com in the Bitcoin space to be anonymous. Is it? So we need to be looking at the rights of the individual. And as we start to get into the situation to where we are looking to become an even a special interest in support of the framework to support interface with the banking system, there is going to come a time when you're going to go to a congressman and you're going to say, oh, no, well, of course you don't want to use Bitcoin to, you know, get an escort or drugs or guns or buy Cody Wilson's new AR-15 lower maker kind of whatever, because you can track that. Yeah, of course you can track that. And what happens when somebody comes up with a dark wallet or a device or a software that makes it to where you're autonomous and anonymous? What happens then? Does the lobby for Bitcoin then go to the government to ask them to protect their monopoly? Oh no, they're the bad actors. They're the bad guy. Go get them. We're the good guys. We're interfacing with your system because we love you so much. So this is, and this happens on a local level. I went through this in the early 2000s. There was a guy I was helping with as an activist. He created a louver that went on the back of your license plate. So when you got a red light camera, it couldn't see it. Now, the police officers knew this. Anybody, you go into a police officer parking lot, they had their tailgate down on all their trucks or pickups because they knew the cameras couldn't see the license plate. So he's selling this, he's advertising on television, and all of a sudden, the city of Mesa had Wells Fargo shut off his credit cards so that he couldn't take payment for it because they said, we have an account here, we'll move it if you don't stop this guy from doing this. Perfectly legal, could view it at 100 feet, which was the law, done. Then what do we have? Choke point, Operation Choke Point. If you're in the porn industry, if you're in the gun industry, this happened in Scottsdale, Arizona. American Spirit Arms. They go in, they shut down their access to all their bank accounts, to their credit card payments and so on. Boom. Shuts them down. Because they can. And I need to know that in the Bitcoin community, I've been following this, I see the trend towards wide adoption is not the same as the support of individual liberty. When wide adoption becomes the goal, you know, then you're starting to get into problems. When wide adoption and government approval is favored over individual liberty, then it becomes a tool for oppression. And that's all I wanted to say at the beginning of this conference, is that as we talk to all these great things that blockchain technology is going to, I've been covering this for a long time. I see the potential. I see the banking. I see at the Freedom Summit that we did in February, Davy Barker gets up and he made a point that I didn't even think of. Half the world is unbanked. You have because of their age, because of their criminal record, because they're Muslim women. They are not allowed by law or culture to even have a bank account. And all of a sudden, you give them the ability to interface financially with the world, and you got, instead of Sally Struthers standing there, some poor little kid in the Congo that doesn't have anything, he's got a smartphone on his loincloth, and he's interfaced his whole village with the world market with nobody's permission and nobody's regulation. Can it be that way? Yes. Yes. Unless they want to choke point him off.
Okay, when we come back, we'll finish the last minute where the prediction was is what's happening. Yep. This is in the archive. We'll get into what I predicted. This is one more minute that's going here, and that's what's been happening this weekend. And I'm concerned. And we're talking all right. I just want to make sure that we're going in fully informed of what you're doing. Frying pan into the fire? We'll find out.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
You're listening to The Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates, online at thelibertybeat.com. John Bush here with your Liberty Beat for Wednesday, February 4th, 2015. Gold is trading around $1,260, silver around $17.27, and Bitcoin is trading around $228. Today's metals prices are brought to you by Midas Resources Incorporated, helping clients convert their paper 401ks and IRAs to solid gold and silver. Get their 10 Reasons book free by calling 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. The New York City courtroom hosting the Ross Ulbricht trial was filled with tension Tuesday afternoon as Judge Catherine Forrest shut down more witnesses and arguments from Ross Ulbricht's defense in the Silk Road trial. On day 11 of the trial, the defense and prosecution gave their closing statements and the jury prepared to deliberate. The prosecution told the jury that the defense was attempting to cloud their minds by fabricating a conspiracy theory surrounding Ross Ulbricht. Defense attorney Joshua Dreitel told the jury that the government lacked conclusive evidence to link Ross Ulbricht to the Silk Road and the purchase of large amounts of drugs. Ulbricht is facing 7 counts of conspiracy. Wednesday morning, Judge Forrest will instruct the jurors on the law, and the deliberation process will begin. Liberty Beat reporter Derek Rose will be live in the courtroom reporting throughout the day. Copwatch activists in Stockton, California are launching a crowdfunding effort to root out corrupt and violent police officers. The activists are offering $2,500 to anyone who submits information leading to the arrest or termination of violent cops. A flyer for the campaign lists 15 officers to look out for and includes a picture of 10 cops accused of brutalizing or killing Americans. Stockton Police Chief Eric Jones stated he is concerned that the flyer might be intended to put officers at risk and said he thought it was sad and disheartening to see a flyer like this with a $2,500 bounty. Indigenous communities in the Peruvian Amazon continue to fight against oil contamination caused by state projects. Men, women, and children with the Quechua have blocked oil company boats from passing through the River Tiger for almost a month now. The local communities say the companies are polluting the river and they will no longer allow the companies to operate. Quechua leader Jose Fachin has said the communities are ready to die defending the river. The communities are asking for remediation, compensation, and to be consulted on future projects. Support for the Liberty Beat Silk Road coverage comes from bitcoinism.liberty.me. thoughts on Bitcoin and the future digital economy. Check out the blog at bitcoinism.liberty.me. Support for our Silk Road coverage also comes from the Free State Project. Want to find liberty in your lifetime? Join thousands of others who are making the move to New Hampshire, the freest state in the Union. To learn more or to pledge to move today, visit freestateproject.org. An investigator has revealed that a prominent prosecutor in Argentina who recently died under mysterious circumstances had drafted a request for President Cristina Fernandez to be arrested under conspiracy charges. Alberto Niesman was found dead in an apparent suicide on January 18th. However, suspicions arose because of the nature of Niesman's investigation. He had been investigating whether President Fernandez had attempted to interfere with an investigation into the bombing of a Jewish center. Niesman believed Fernandez covered up a connection between the bombings and the Iranian government in exchange for oil. The lead investigator into Niesman's death stated that the file was found in the trash at Niesman's house. The day after his death, Niesman was scheduled to speak before Congress regarding his claims about Fernandez. The British Army has announced the creation of a new special forces unit that will counteract narratives on social media. The Anti-Media reports that a military spokesperson said the 77th Brigade will formally be established in April to meet the challenges of modern conflict and warfare. There will be 1,500 so-called Facebook warriors who will spread disinformation and propaganda across social media platforms. How much food is in your pantry right now? Could you feed your family for 2 weeks, 1 week? How about 3 days without any help? eFoods Direct is food security for whatever the future holds. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/LibertyBeat or call 1-800-620-5520 to learn more about food security in a time of crisis. You've been listening to The Liberty Beat. Remember to question everything and always live free.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're going to finish real quick so we don't have too big a gap in the archive, my presentation in Orlando. So let's go ahead and do that real quick so we can get that out of the way. All right. Where is it? Here. All right. Here we go.
I am more concerned about the way we're thinking about this than the actual technology, because the technology is going to allow for us to be anonymous. Will the Bitcoin culture support that or be begging to protect a monopoly that is now interfaced with the very financial system that Bitcoin was promised to eliminate? Will it become, there come a time to where many of the founders, when you have many of the people in the industry that will be equated with those at Jekyll Island, will you be able to argue that it wasn't true? That's all I want you guys to think about. Peace.
Okay, now this is the point that I was making. Sooner or later, there's going to be, you build up, whenever you create an organization or group around a movement or a cause, sooner or later, the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it. Not most of the time, every single time. So this is the point that I wanted to make, because, and I'm glad, that's the only reason why I wanted to do the 10-minute thing. I just wanted to put a timestamp on it, to make sure people were aware of what I was concerned about. There will come a time when they build businesses, and yes, here's the carrot. Here's the carrot. Oh, look at this guy. Give me some lollipop if you do this, that, and the other. It's being explained to them. This is what's going to happen. You want to be a business in the space, you got to do this, or you're going to have these other guys on Wall Street just going to walk all over it, and they're going to do them whatever in America. So I already know what's going to happen, and we have contacts that are there now. There'll be several that we'll be talking to in the next week or two about what happened behind the doors of. And a lot of these things that go on in secret negotiations with, as I looked on the Bitcoin Foundation page, you can see a lot of pages haven't even been updated for a couple of years. They're not being very open or current about it. It's all just a name that they kind of put this stuff together so they can negotiate with the man and then try and encourage development to go where they know you, you know? So the people that started it were a bunch of crooks. You know, people that are in jail or fraud, they wasn't good. Okay. So it's just, the Mt. Gox guys. And so, it's just, ew. I don't need to go over the details of, which is why Cody Wilson finally just, really made it untenable for them. And is going, I'm going to run for the board to eliminate it. A lot of people abandoned it and so on. So it's the collectivization of organization of them trying to get what they want and sit on Uncle Sam's lap. It's going away. So they have no credibility, but that means they'll just create another one and another one and merge with another one. I've been around long enough to see that this is so, and it happens on a regular basis. And because of the internet and the forever archive of I Remember, there is going to be a little bit more difficulty for them to do this, as they're following the exact same playbook of a lot of this kind of thing. So I'm like, okay. So we're going to find out very soon, which is my point, if the tech can hold up to regulation. Because if Bitcoin can't, then it's the wrong tech. We'll wait for the next one. We'll convert into whatever and somebody else, and here we go. We still have many others coming. Storage and Made Safe and everything they have. It's you get a reward system for housing the internet on your computer as you mine, blah, blah, blah. Could that be it? Very well could be. But what are they doing? They're out of Scotland. So what do we have? Cameron from United Kingdom because of the shootings in Paris and no personal encryption. You're not allowed. It's too high. It's like military. It's like having an anti-aircraft gun or something. You got a Huey, you got cryptography, same thing. So not that I care. You have a Huey. I don't give a crap. But the so this is why I'm concerned. And I'm glad that we got to be on record predicting this and being concerned about this, because it's exactly what's happening right now. Who's on the side of the individual? Where is that? Who are those people? I don't know. There's a lot that I'd like to lean towards, and they think this way and kind of probably better, but I'm going, it's a matter of degree. Excuse me. The one point that Cody Wilson made when he did the debate with Bruce Fenton, as he goes, yeah, I can see why they want Bruce Fenton, to debate me, because he's giving the impression that, he's really an anarchist libertarian type that would, reluctantly kind of, get in and fix it from the inside and kind of, I'm going, no, I've been through this before in politics. It's always like this. It's kind of, the Rand Paul thing. Well, I'll say what I need to do, kind of get in there. And once I get in, I'll fix it. I won't, my goal won't be to get elected the next time. I'll just, do the freedom thing and then I'll be done and I can go away and it's never what happens. But and if you wanted to be elected the next time based on the support of freedom, that's cool. You're changing culture then. But that's not what's going on. It is a control for this powerful technology that's going to change the way we live into the future. There's going to be a before and an after mile marker in human history, and there's several of them. We went to space. Okay. We discovered, certain things. We developed the ideology of. There's a lot of mile markers that will determine, what the microprocessor, Siri. What are the artificial intelligence? Landed on calling on Mars. There's a lot of mile markers. And one of those is this technology, and it's going to see which way it goes. Now, the technology is going to have to where, excuse me. The technology is going to have to where there's a lot of opportunities for people to take it and do a lot of things. When you have the Android store or the iPhone or iTunes, and you have them determine what criteria based on a slip from the government that says thou shalt and or shalt not, then you're stifling innovation, and then you get into Silk Road kind of stuff. So it's not a coincidence. It's not by accident that you have guilty on Ross Ulbricht Silk Road trial on the same day that the New York Department of Financial Services comes out, and this is how Bitcoin's going to have to be done to not be that. Because you're drug dealers. He's assassination and terrorism and so on. And that's one other thing that I wanted to show you here is that you can see the campaign a-coming, okay? Here, say I want to find that one. Yep. The Bitcoin elites plan secret Bilderberg-style confab. Okay, now I'll just read a little bit of this. But that was not as much as concern as the same timing. Here comes this article. Senior U.S. Special Forces to disrupt terrorist use of Bitcoin. Well, I thought they used cash given to them in pallets by, the government. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this thing I never even knew existed. It's U.S. Special Operations Command, okay? In a secure location near the headquarters of MacDill Air Force Base. Includes Navy SEALs, Delta Force, Green Beret, and other highly trained specialized units operating under joint military command to carry out the most difficult combat, and intelligence missions. They conduct these missions both alone and in conjunction with their CIA paramilitary units. Bitcoin.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, I want to finish up on this so you guys kind of know what's going on. It's important because, it follows a familiar path. The more individuals expand and exercise their rights and their abilities, there's got to be somebody who wants to regulate it or put a permission slip on it or track it or know about it. And the people that are really good at pointing that out, there's a lot of them we have on the show. And one of them, certainly in this space and many others, is Cody Wilson, because it's everything he does is a psyop. He just, made you look. Look at what? Well, this big made you look thing and the philosophy behind it, and it's the same as all the other stuff that I do. Whether it's 3D printing guns, dark wallet being secret on Bitcoin. Ghost Gunner milling out the AR lowers. The whole point that he's making, defense distributed, where you're putting files up of anything that you want to be able to 3D print. These kinds of, he's using technology the way it was supposed to be, like the printing press with the individual. You don't need a, First Amendment press pass to be able to do something. This whole concept of a press pass. And who gets, is that an official press pass? You got a press pass? I can't tell you how many times we made fun of this all during the 90s. We had newspaper and the magazines, and we're doing all kinds of online stuff and our activism. What is the criteria for us to get as a press credentials in the Senate press room? Come to find out how the system worked is that the president of the Senate negotiated with a representative of the press pool that they determined who got to be, even have a box to get press releases from the government. That's all we wanted. We said, just give us a box. We just want to give us a box just to put in so we can go in and get the stuff that everybody's getting the press release. Go ahead, just a box. We don't want a table, a desk, a room of this. A box. And we make a big stinking deal out of it. And it became very clear. It was controlled by the very machine they're supposed to cover. which was the point we were making. So we didn't expect that they ever gave it to us. We wouldn't care anyway, but that wasn't the point. So I, now that you have this coming to the attention of Durka Durka Jihad, you know, we got to go get the Bitcoin terrorist kind of stuff, and they got Navy SEALs going after it. On the same day that you have Ross Ulbricht trial guilty, you have the Bitcoin license thing come out. You have this weekend, you know, kind of a secret confab of whatever, which is a mistake. Even if they're good guys and want to talk about it, or the way that they set this up, that wasn't a good idea. Certainly with all these people about transparency and open and everything, we're going to be secret about the meeting, about being transparent. I mean, that wasn't a good idea. So this is, it's all timing that's coming out now, right now. Bitcoin Summit could not happen at a better time. We just finished the artwork for all the Twitter and Facebook artwork crap, you know, and Drew and the guys are setting that up and doing, we're going to start heavy promotion as soon as I can get the hotel to change it from Freedom Summit to Bitcoin Summit, because all the stuff, they didn't make the change, so we're doing that. But we got everything all set up, and we're going to be, you know, being all stupid about it, you know, starting this weekend. But then the printing up and different incentives and so on. And we have a lot of the guys, I mean, they want to play. We're going to be kind of just tell the story out there. We need the merchants to be able to access to, you know, to use it and so on. So BitPay is going to supply some material and so on. We have some of the wallets that will be there and represented and doing. We're going to make it easy and no charge. And everybody wants to come play and play. But we're going to, you know, not sugarcoat it. We're going to tell the people, the new adopters, what the issues are, how it can be used now. If you want to interface or don't want to interface, the power of the technology. How to do cold storage. Is it going to be black and white Bitcoin? Can that even be possible? We're going to talk about so that as the news develops, the people in Arizona are going to be fully informed. You don't want to suck them in, and then they go, well, what just happened? And it's gone now. You know, yeah, we do it kind of in the CD, and we put it in the money market, and it's gone. You know, is Bitcoin going to do the same thing? I don't know. We need to understand the tech so we can make an informed individual decisions. While we were out doing the horseback riding thing yesterday, I realized there's so many, certainly with horseback riding, a lot of tourist kind of stuff. In the winter, you know, that's where what all the winter visitors do. And I'm going, okay, I should be talking to the tourism authority. You know, there's all kinds of different groups, you know, Arizona Highways, and they have a lot of, you know, tourist organizations, and I kind of go, hey, you know what Arizona should be? Should be the state that takes Bitcoin, like Colorado lets you smoke dope. And I'm going, oh, and Arizona's kind of a little liberalized on that, too. So you got Bitcoin and marijuana and really nice places to visit in Arizona, and woohoo, we're in rock and roll and whatnot. You know, you want, yeah, Arizona's a Bitcoin friendly, man. We're not in New York. New York City, get a rope. I mean, you know, so I'm just, we have this kind of mindset, and I'm going to do it because I can. Well, that's going to piss off some people, but it also sets a standard that, yes, it can be done, and there is support for freedom, and it's out here in the West, and these guys have got beltwater, you know, mad cow disease, or whatever the hell it is that they, you know, talking the larger East Coast cities of this is how it's got to be done, you know, and the Californication of the entire planet on, you got to get permission slip. We're just going to set the standard and just be buttheads about it, because all this promises that I've got from all these guys, you look at the list of the people dinner, heck, you know, two-thirds of them I've talked to. So I'm going, and there are representatives of everything. I mean, you're going to have Coinbase and BitPay, I imagine. They're going to, you know, ouch, quit it and get explained to each other. Because what's the one thing I guarantee, I even read Ben Law, what's his jerk's decree from New York Department of Financial Services, is that it's going to require that you know your customer. It's going to be required that, you know, there's no chance of money laundering. It's going to require that, you know, that it not be Bitcoin. That's what it's going to be. So I'm just wondering how this is going to be done in the space. We are at a fork. To make sure that you're paying attention and that you're getting the message, they have created this. This writer, Jim Rickards, if I did, you know, scratch the surface on him, he's got the man, okay? So if he's traveling to Tampa, Florida to meet with senior officers of Special Operations Command, you know, I'm going, can I go? Am I allowed? Do I got those kind of press credentials? Eh, maybe not. Now, this USSOCOM, I guess, you know, USOCOM, whatever it is, includes Navy SEALs, Delta Force, Green Berets, and other highly trained users of the military that works with the CIA paramilitary units. I'm going, the hell does this mean? And they call it J36. So it's like Men in Black stuff. Okay. So they want the what? Such networks are both criminal and terrorist in nature and may be involved in narco-terrorism, terrorist finance, among other activities. Oh, they want to keep track of all these threat networks of people moving money around and they don't get a bead on it. Okay. Our meeting was attended not only by USOCOM operators, but also by members of other combat commands, including CENTCOM and AFRICOM, and other government agencies, including U.S. Treasury, CIA, and the Federal Reserve. Of course, why wouldn't you have the Federal Reserve and intelligence? You know? Our purpose was to consider ways to disrupt financial support for Islamic State and other transnational actors. Durka Durka Jihad! Oh, here come the terrorists! In particular, you know, the Islamic State. We got to have ISIS. We got to have some. You know, it's because of ISIS that you can't have cryptography. This is the mantra that you're getting out of the United Kingdom. You know, and Bitcoin, you know, they want to focus on some Bitcoin here. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit, but you get the idea already. Can you feel it?
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Wait. Did you call him back? Yep. Let's talk to him. Okay. Paul? Hey, are you able to come on for a minute and tell us what's up? Yeah. No, I'll have Donna call you in just a minute here, and we'll get you on in the next segment, you know, last segment of this hour. The confab in the Caribbean.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can talk about the confab.
All right, cool. Donna will call you here in just a minute. We'll get you just the last segment, and you can give us your Evelyn Wood version of whatever.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Paul. We'll call you in just a little bit.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let me tell you what's going on. Donna, if she'd listen on the phone, come help me and get Paul on. The what is going on? Paul Snow is from Factum. Now, he's does the Texas Bitcoin conference that last year we went to, met a lot of the guys, and they're doing it again in Austin. So I just gave him a call in the break, and I go, look, I saw him on the list that he's going to this thing in the Caribbean, and I'm going, all right, so tell me what's up. So he'll talk to him. Now, he is a wide adopter thing. Yeah. You know, the world will be better off and we'll be free if we get some wide adoption. And I go, all right, in your opinion. So anyway, so he is certainly friendly with Bruce Fenton that's putting it on, that is running against Cody Wilson. They're kind of running together. I think there's two slots open. They could both very well get elected. And but I think the Bitcoin Foundation, they will close it before they'll allow to have Cody on there. I think that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that, we don't do that anymore. You know, we're over here because it's lost any credibility. It's just anybody that points out its shortcomings, it's not that hard. So we're going to have Paul Snow explain. Finally, you know, I get somebody that will come on and talk about it. A lot of the guys, they won't. They're just like, nah, I'm not touching that with a 30-foot pole. So I want to go ahead and have him just one segment, just tell us what's going on. But I want to finish this. This is this U.S. Department of, we're going to kick your butt, you know, and it's really interesting that they would be so open about it, but it's the timing of it. Our meeting was attended not only by USOCOM, which is, you know, the United States of, we're going to kick your butt, cyber, whatever, but CENTCOM, which is the central command here out of Florida for ruling the United States, AFRICOM, which has been just newly created within the last few years. That was, they didn't have a Africa command military kind of thing, which, you know, of course they did, and State Department doing whatever, but they actually opened this up. Now, U.S. Treasury, CIA, and the Federal Reserve attended this meeting. Federal Reserve? Isn't that a private thing? In particular, the Islamic State and associated terrorist groups have the ability to use crypto digital currencies such as Bitcoin to transfer funds from wealthy Saudi Wahhabi supporters to arms dealers and other suppliers of provisions and services. We had assembled the financial and computer experts to work with USOCOM operators to disrupt the use of Bitcoin by terrorists. Okay. Can they? See, this is my thing. It's, you know, called cash. I mean, they do whatever they want with cash or other current or gold or I don't know. Of course, Bitcoin makes it easier. That's the point. And if it can make it anonymous, well, they're like, oh, heck no. That's our job. We got C-130s that drop pallets of cash and do what we want to do. You know, we don't want competition from somebody in their basement being able to just send it over the wires. That'd be wrong. Okay. So disrupt the use of Bitcoin by terrorists. Now, keep in mind, you got the drug dealer thing, Silk Road. That didn't go over really well because they had alternative media they're covering, calling BS on the whole thing. Doesn't matter what they do. They're like, yeah, and they made it safer for the community. You didn't have all this drug war, you know, crap going on, and the man doesn't get a cut, and they don't get the, you know, stop and frisk it, and you got to join, you're going to jail, kind of, because you didn't get a government permission slip because you got cancer. I mean, it's just kind of crap. The particular counter threat techniques we discussed cannot be disclosed because it would give an advantage to enemies of the U.S. But the session was an excellent opportunity to consider just how far the cryptocurrency community has come in a relatively brief period. Okay, now let's think about that. They don't want to talk about it, and the biggest reason is because they got concerns they can't stop it. Okay, but just how far the cryptocurrency community has come in a short time. Well, I don't know what they mean short time. It's been years. But, you know, the whole concept was they just didn't take it seriously. And all of a sudden now they're going, damn, we better take this seriously. So how far it's come, how far what's come, from where to where, and them not knowing about it. See, this whole thing is not about fraud. It's not about lying. It's not about stealing. It's not about that. It's about secrecy. It is illegal to be secret. Well, they want it to make that way. And I don't care if they make it illegal or not. I just want to make it to where it doesn't matter what their legal is. And that's where all these meetings and stuff comes in. So-called cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin have two main features in common. The first is that they are not issued or regulated by any central bank or single regulatory authority. Yay. They are created in accordance with certain computer algorithms and are issued and transferred through a distributed processing network using open source code. Any particular computer server hosting a cryptocurrency ledger or register could be destroyed, but the existence of the currency would continue to reside on other servers all over the world and could quickly be replicated. It is impossible to destroy a cryptocurrency by attacking any single node or group of nodes. The second feature is common is encryption, which gives rise to the crypto part of the name. It is possible to observe transactions taking place in the so-called blockchain, which is a master register of all currency units and transactions. But the identity of the transacting parties is hidden behind what is believed to be an unbreakable code. Only the transacting parties have the keys needed to decode the information in the blockchain in such a way as to obtain use and possession of the currency. This does not mean that cryptocurrencies are fail-safe. Large amounts of cryptocurrency units have been lost by those who entrusted them to certain unregulated Bitcoin banks and exchanges. Get the Paul Snow on the line. So they are admitting that this is the problem is when you treat Bitcoin like a bank, when you entrust them with your password and your stuff. You're like some of the wallets, they don't even know who you are. You can open up without a Bitcoin. You just create an account, put the app on, and you start doing passwords, and they can't track it. They can't, you know, service a subpoena because they don't have the information, certainly not unencrypted. So I'm just going, you know, this is exactly what they don't want. And sure as hell don't even want it demonstrated that you can do it. So you go, some units have been lost because of personal hardware problems. They, you know, lost their phone. They did, but a lot of these things have backups and they're working on this. So, It said the system works reasonably well and is growing rapidly for both legitimate and illegitimate transactions. This is what the intent is, what's going on. You know, so what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to go ahead and talk to Paul Snow about this and see what he's willing, because I know it's going to be, well, we got it, you know, wide adoption. And my only question is this. Is there going to be discussion that is going to be centered around, well, to really save the planet and all the great and wonderful things that can happen throughout the universe and everything, we just, a little degree of a kind of tiny little bit of tyranny. We get a foot in the door of the nose in a tent, kind of the Campbell thing, you know, just a little bit. It's a matter of degree. Just a little bit. We'll comply just a little bit. You know, if that is the case and you set the mechanism to start this slippery slope down to the evil of, you know, then here we go. Well, Paul's been pretty forthright with this. You know, his advocacy is, you know, he thinks the world's better off, even if it's a little know-your-customer thing. But unfortunately, he's agreed to come on. We're going to have that discussion. Wow. Ross Ulbricht gets convicted. Guilty. Same day, New York Department of Financial Service and then the military. Paul, thank you. All right.
Hey, how are you doing, Ernest?
I am doing well. This is the only controversy. You know, this is what happened. I'll tell you the spiel. When I gave my presentation in Orlando, the last minute was very simple. I go, look, there's going to come a time when you're going to be asking for the government to protect a monopoly or allow you to do business, and you're going to exchange individual privacy for that, and you will be determined to be in the same vein as the founders of the Federal Reserve System at Jekyll Island. And will you be able to argue that it isn't so? That was my quote. So I played that. It was just an 8-minute presentation that I did in Orlando, Coins in the Kingdom. And I said, this is what I see coming. And then what do? You guys go to an island. See my point?
Well, yeah. But I don't think that's quite really the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, you know, is it going to be know your customer and permission slip of? What's the difference?
Well, I mean, you've got myself, you've got David Johnston, you have Jason King, you have a whole bunch of people that are anything but interested in piles of know your customer regulations. I looked at the New York Bit License, the new release came out yesterday.
Yeah,
read the differences between it and the previous version. Somebody did a text compare on the two.
I don't care about. They always throw in the kitchen sink and they still get what they want, and I guarantee freaking tea. Okay, let me show you, Paul, what I've been telling the people so you don't get in, you know, unawares.
Sure.
They have the first thing was, hey, there's the little secret confab thing. Then they go and all about, we need to have transparency in the thing and open ledger of the transparency about a secret meeting about being transparent. So I'm going, right. So then it goes, well, we're going to pay these guys to videotape and kind of, oh, so you're paying them, and then what are they going to videotape? You know, whatever you pay them to, you know? So the journalist of critics or people that want to watch the space and the anarchist or whatever, not allowed, and it's on an island. So then I'm going, okay, well, that doesn't make me feel better. Then you have Ross Ulbricht, the Silk Road, guilty. At the same time, you have Ben Lawsky comes out with his thing. Aha! See? And you think the timing of that was, you know, an accident? So then I have this article that's being done. Was this Richard's guy? United States military of CIA and the Federal Reserve and U.S. Treasury coming together, and they're going to get them some terrorists using Bitcoin. So I can already see the mantra. It's like, you don't want to be a money launderer. So how are you going to do Bitcoin and be anonymous? This is my whole point. So you're not. And there's going to be at this thing, you're going to be sitting there and discuss how you're going to make Ernie not pissed off and still do it. See, I already know what's going to happen, Paul. You know, and I'm just like, wow, this is, if this isn't neon flashing what I've been saying for years. I mean, is this exactly what I've been talking? All right, say it's not what I've been talking about.
The confab in the islands is not what you're talking about, because there's nobody there that is. I don't know of anyone that's coming that wants to establish know your customer and all
no,
the other
wants things. To yeah. and will do it are two different things. Just because you don't want to don't mean anything.
I think the largest body of these guys are going to turn around and reject this license just the way they did the last one.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about it. Here we go.
Email updates at updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Mr. Paul Snow, Texas Bitcoin Conference. We'll be going to Austin for our second one. And, you know, that'll be fun. We'll get to see the guys and say what's up. You know, at the end of the month, I'm going to Narco Poco, Jeff Berwick's thing, and the Mark Victor will be down there, myself. I think Cody Wilson's going to be there, too. Some other guys. We're going to, Luke, we're going to have a good time. We're going to be, you know, chilling and whatnot and discussing a lot of this stuff, I am certain. So I'm going, all right. Paul Snow is online with me. He's going to hit me out here. Paul, I got you.
Yes, hello. How are you doing, Ernest?
Okay, Paul, this is, you understand my concern. We have Silk Road guilty, New York Department of Financial Services, Ben LaWhatsisFace comes out and says, oh, we rule you this way. Then we have a secret meeting that's between, you know, supposed to be the good guys, in a Caribbean meeting, and, you know, we'll find out after, I guess, and sometime we'll get the transaction, or the, what do they call it, the transcripts of what was said and who said and whatever, and someday the Bitcoin Foundation will tell us all about it. We get Cody Wilson in there and we'll find out what is going on and who they negotiated with and the government or whatever. It's just, it builds up. And then I got the military sitting there threatening, yeah, we got Navy SEALs and Green Beret and CIA paramilitary watching Bitcoin transactions. I'm going, wow, if this isn't a PSYOP. So I'm going, the people that are going down there, you got, tell me everything you know. I know Bruce Fenton is putting it on, and you're, you know Bruce well. So give me the spiel, what's going on this weekend, Paul.
Yeah, well, I think Bruce has put it out there for the community to know. I mean, about 30 of these people are friends, and 30% of them are people that are big in the Bitcoin space, and 30% of them are CEOs and, you know, movers and shakers. And, you know, the idea is to go and rub shoulders and network. Not really that different from any of the inside Bitcoin conferences or any of the other events to rub shoulders, only there's much more emphasis on networking.
And it's by invitation, and they're select. And I'm wondering, yes, you know, what the invitation was based on. A lot of people, they go, you know, they even say here, yeah, okay, you know, it's invitation only and extremely limited in space. And we, even though you may be a great and wonderful person in Bitcoin in your own mind, we get to select who and get over it, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, because it's Bruce's party. Bruce put it on.
No, which is fine. He gets to do what he party with who he wants. You know, I don't care. But the thing is that, you know, it's, I can see what everybody represented. I mean, you got Coinapult. They're kind of, you know, screw the U.S. and we're out of here. And then you have the Digital Chamber of Commerce that wants to lobby. You got, you know, crypto this and crypto that and MasterCoin and BitShares.
Well, Jason King, myself, Bruce Fenton himself, who's way more libertarian than I am.
See, way more. See, it's just, I always see this argument. It's a matter of degree. I just need one answer to one question.
Sure.
I need to know if the advocacy for whatever the heck Ben Law Watson's jerk did, that there is going to be the anonymous use of Bitcoin. Is that going to be a trait of this technology, or are all of these different organizations that count on not getting SWAT teamed looking for what form and what trait and what, you know, technology we got to have in such a way that Uncle Sam's not going to come squash us like a bug with their military, whatever the heck?
Well, I think that's going to be a tension in the space for a long time, and how that washes out is still undetermined. I do think that if they squash the anonymous the ability to be anonymous,
anonymity. It took me a long time to get that word.
I can't get that word. My tongue just doesn't wrap around it. I've been dealing with it for 30 years. I can't say the word. The bottom line is, to be anonymous is an important trait in financial transactions. That's why you don't take your
credit card statement and post it on the internet. And so every idiot regulator that says if you want to be anonymous, you must have something to hide. My response is post your bank statements on the internet. It, you know, come on, prove to us that being honest means you're willing to put your financial information out for everyone to see.
Well, see, this is the one thing that Bitcoin was about. You see, I found out when it was. I went to Sam Ash to get some cable that Drew and I were working on the studio, and all of a sudden my credit card wouldn't work. And they go, it's been declined. And I'm going, what the heck? So I wanted to go through the process. This is why I use Bitcoin. Oh, I can't believe that. You know, I mean, I'm just being a butthead. So I got the bank on the phone, and they go, well, it's when it's a compromised use of we kind of whatever, and law enforcement says, and we and this group of credit cards, and no, you can't use it. And I'm thinking, I'm going, the last time I used it, well, I must have been at Lowe's or Home Depot when I got, and then I got home, and I remember, I go, oh, yeah, the last time that I used it was with Circle. And I went ahead and I purchased a Bitcoin just when it went down to 170 or something, just out of principle, you know. So I go like cool. this. I go, yeah, you know, I'll go ahead and do this. I want to see how it works because I'm open. Everybody knows I'm whatever anyway. Sure. But so I go in and I did. It was, I think, Bitcoin Express or something like that, too. So I set up and did the bank thing, and I used that Visa debit card to get Bitcoin. Boom. For the first time, it's canceled. And I just got a new one, and I go, I'm so not shocked, okay? And this is what I need to know. Are they going to be, you got to go through the, you know, so I need to know if these people advocating for the use of Bitcoin in the wallets and so on are going to be able to be anonymous, autonomous, and don't have to have, you know, anal probes on know your customer. I mean, you know.
I don't think anybody... anybody wants that. I mean, some amount of know your customer with some companies is, you know, like, for instance, an exchange or setting up a bank is probably going to happen because they're already doing it. But if you read the BitLicense from New York, it's insane. Do you realize, according to the BitLicense in New York, every 45 days, you're supposed to update New York with your strategic business plans, your future financial projection.
Fascism.
Every 45 days, you're supposed to, you know, I read the license. It's no different than it was before. And basically, my question to Ben Lawsky is, when you go to visit him, apparently you're not even supposed to wear clothes. I mean, you might have a business plan written on your butt. And I am astounded at how much the revised version addresses every concern banking and finance had about the possibility of these regulations applying to them, and absolutely ignoring any concern that the Bitcoin community had about the unreasonableness of the transactions.
Oh, hell, I'm so shocked.
No, but, you know, most of the people, if not all of the people, I can't, maybe somebody is confused and thinks that we can live with the BitLicense, but what I expect is the same round of statements from the Bitcoin community saying that if this license goes into effect, we will ban all New York IP addresses, and we will put a statement up for anyone who comes to the site that we will only do business with you if you are not a New York resident, you do not do business in New York, and you do not have a place of business in New York. Because one of the things is that if you look at who's a resident of New York by that license, if you do business in New York and you're a corporation, you are a New York citizen, a resident, York resident. And that means...
Well, think about this. In Arizona, there used to be, I mean, you know, I'm going to go look, some of the in Scottsdale and so on, they have banks that are not on the FDIC or federal, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to check with that. I'm going to see if I can get them come to, you know, can we do this when they do the New York thing and these local banks in different communities, and some of them, you know, are just private, you know, organized banks that will do Bitcoin interface and not have to have this federal whatever. Who's going to make that determination? Or is somebody just going to create one? Cyberly. You see, I mean, if you say no, we can then start working with the tech and on solutions, on other opportunities, but you have to say no first.
Well, you know, I mean, at some point they will say no. Now, you saw yesterday also Italy's central bank declared that Bitcoin to be legal and that no Bitcoin exchange or Bitcoin company has to comply with Know Your Customers and AML regulations. That was a clear statement from the central bank of Italy. So you are seeing havens set up for Bitcoin. If New York continues its press to suppress Bitcoin and Bitcoin companies and Bitcoin commerce, all they're going to do is leave themselves out of this new technology.
Good. I mean, I'm thinking. Let me think for a second. Good. Okay. So I just want to, you know, there's a lot of support. We have the Bitcoin Summit. Bitcoinsummit.info. Go check it out. We just got our Twitter and the Facebook and all the crap that I just pulled the trigger because I go, you know what? This needs to be done to where we have the information for merchants and newbies. We'll be right back. Hey, you know, we're in break now, but I want to just go ahead and talk here. We can put an archive. This is, you can understand, I see that we're on the cusp of, you know, this wide adoption that you're talking about. And I'm talking billions of people around the world. And if we start allowing this to happen with government regulators, I thought Bitcoin was supposed to replace the legacy system, not, you know, go down on it. I mean, you know, what the heck? So I'm looking at when these people that are going, I mean, there's got to be a predetermined of something they already know and they're going to explain it to everybody. You know, I know Bruce is not going, well, let's just talk about it. No, that Bitcoin found, correct me if I'm wrong. The Bitcoin Foundation is so sullied and so record and track, and oh my God, Cody might get in. Then what the hell are you going to do? That they're going to say, "Yeah, we abandon this and we create a new one and a different, and we're over here now."
Well, you have to understand, there's only about 2,000 members of the Bitcoin Foundation.
All mindset, PR, psyop bullshit. You know, are you guys going to advocate for creating a new funding mechanism, a lighthouse thing, or getting, you know, Gavin his money in some other way in a group of we're not them anymore? Yeah, you know, the foundation, I don't see its future, certainly not in the community, as they've been secret negotiation with kind of crap. You know, that the name is too far gone. Are they going to try and create a new organization?
I really don't know. I mean, Patrick.
I do.
Patrick.
And I don't even know Paul. And I know.
No. I can tell you the strategy he placed out there, which is the Bitcoin Foundation quits doing lobbying, and solely focuses on funding a few core devs.
No, they're not going to. It's because they're still keeping that on their thing as some possible future. I see it going away. I mean, I don't see how it cannot go away.
You see the foundation.
Yeah, why would they keep it? They just do another one.
Well, I don't think that Bitcoin itself cares one way or the other about whether the foundation exists.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah, I guarantee you that if the foundation disappeared tomorrow, then the next day there would be a confab of people in the space that make sure that Gavin continues to get paid and other people continue to get paid to keep this thing going.
Again,
my point. Because right now they're earning a fraction of what they should be. You know, there's a fraction of the money that should be going into the support of Bitcoin as a technology, given that it's a $3 to $5 billion cap thing. You should really have a budget of millions of dollars, not.
You know, I tell you, Paul, this is what reminds me of this. When the internet first started getting going, it's in the early 90s or so on.
Yeah.
A bunch of the activists are out for $35 getting, you know, Madonna.com and U-Haul and FedEx and everybody just buying up all these domains and everything.
Absolutely.
And we're going, who's doing this? And there was some guy, you know, in the middle of somewhere that got paid $135,000 a year to manage all the things and the math, and I pushed a button and done. And then all of a sudden, oh, we need to get control of this kind of. And he's dead, okay? Then it goes to Geneva and they do ICANN or whatever, and it kind of, you know, there's always going to be this, if it's real simple and it's just here, it doesn't matter, and we're just paying this guy to do and kind of, then it's, those guys are gone and somebody else takes over and somebody dies and they got a new guy and a meeting in Geneva.
Yeah, but the darknet still lives, and also things like Namecoin, which haven't gotten a lot of traction, But other alternative ways of putting names to IP addresses, which is all a DNS does.
Which they want to make illegal. All this crypto thing, as soon as they do the parachutings, what's the first thing Cameron does? Oh, personal communication cryptography, whatever, is not a good Ian did, and we ban and illegal.
Yeah, that'll never happen, because what he wants is a backdoor to any cryptography. And if you put a backdoor to all cryptography, you break not just things like Bitcoin. You break the banks. You break everything.
It'd be like Losky's doing his kitchen sink thing, and then you trim it back a little bit and whatever they can get away. And if you don't, then they come and hut in your business and, take a bazooka to your servers. You know, this is, mm-hmm. Paul, you've been around as long as me, man. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. How far off am I as this is the history of how this stuff happens?
It's both a positive and a negative history. There's definitely been deployed guns on every centralized effort to create freedom, okay? No doubt. And but the strength of Bitcoin that we don't yet know is whether they can bring guns to bear on decentralized systems and decentralized threats. And in fact, they can't. The problem is there is no target to bring a gun against. And so technology, just like the internet spread despite all kinds of efforts of corporate networks and corporate centralized control.
But they got what they wanted. They got surveillance.
They got part of what they wanted. I'll give you they got surveillance. I'm sorry. When I expected you to go somewhere else. I expected you to go, but you know, the corporations took over the internet. That's where I expected you to go.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah. There isn't really a difference, because you see, every large corporation is a target and thus opens you up to surveillance. This is one of the reasons why I am in the world of producing decentralized solutions, decentralized applications, because I believe that decentralization is the key to building structures that work.
See, this is why a lot of, you know, your partner at the Consumer Electronics Show, he was more critical, thought I'd be more critical of Factum. And, you know, especially since I don't vote, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, right. You're going to have accurate voting. Yay. And I'm going, you know, the thing is, I go, no, we need to know. Are the people really this, you know, dumb? Or we know that they're really expressing their opinion and we really give them an opportunity to really have an accurate vote. Right? Because that was my mantra from the beginning. When I started mm-hmm. doing activism, I ran for Secretary of State in 94 and in 06. And between those 12 years, everything that I mm-hmm. predicted in 94 happened. So in 6, I'm mm-hmm. like, you're still voting? I mean, you guys get it, right? It's all corrupt. Well, the thing is that, you know, if you can make it not corrupt, well, then we got a whole nother issue, all right?
Right.
Should we have people voting to determine whatever? But until you get to that point of being accurate, you can't even have that discussion. So the thing is that I'm like, you know, no, I, if you're going to do government, if you're going to do it, you know, accurate, and you're not able to bribe some guy to change the record in the, you know, a developing country of now this mountain's ours now. I go, if you can't do that, well, then there's no, you can't even, you know, pretend you're going to have a good government. So I support this factum that you're, what you're doing and accomplishing. Go ahead and change it.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, as an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry up.
Well, yeah, it is an experiment. All of it is an experiment. But I believe that if you insert essentially accountability, if you insert immutable audit trails, if you insert essentially a element of honesty in transactions between organizations in the sense that they can't back off from what they've said, then I believe that you affect reforms in ways that are yet unpredictable.
Which is why they don't like it, and they want to control it, and they want to have it. You know, I already know where this goes, Paul. I've been through this cycle a gazillion times. We've been anticipating cryptography since the 88 article of Crossbows to Cryptography. The king always makes it illegal when you're not under their control. You know, I got to get...
They can't make some things illegal. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I got to, you know, I'm going to start my next segment. I got an in-studio guest. I got to go. But will you talk to us next week after all this?
I have a Monday and Tuesday that I'm around, but then I have another trip, and then I'm in town until the conference, I think.
Okay. So, Donna, we'll get in touch with you. I got to go. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We lost.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. That was nice of Paul Snow, just kind of, you know, throw in real quick there at the end. And it's a philosophical discussion he and I keep continually having. I'm going, look, man, you know, blah, 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 blah. Factum, what he's trying to do is to make, you know, good, efficient, honest, open, transparent, you can't fraud it government, you know, services on registering titles and land and how to interface with and documents of and multi-sig something, you know, and I'm like, okay, cool. And even voting. So I'm going, yeah, you know, I'm like, you're still voting? Well, primarily I'm going because it's so corrupted. I mean, it's just, you know, ew. But then you get into the situation where you're discussing whether you should even vote. You know, I mean, okay, it's accurate. So, you know, so this is stuff that we want. And Paul's going to come on next week. We'll get him on Monday, Tuesday, probably Tuesday, I think it is, that we got a window opportunity after he comes back from the Caribbean in this meeting. We can talk about it because I'm concerned that it's going to be, yeah, well, just a little bit and wide adoption and because. So I'm very concerned about, you know, this, and we're at that time. But there's so much innovation in the space doing. It's going to come down to each of us just communicating with each other on a lot of stuff. When Craigslist first came out, I got my in-studio guest, a gentleman named David Bailey, not of Why Bitcoin. David Bailey has an app called Yard Sale Watch App. Now, I want to talk about yardsalewatch.com. Now, this is what happened. My granddaughter and I had to go to the bicycle store to, you know, give her a ride because the grandma's bike was flat and got to go get and kind of, and I got to do the electric motorized drift trike and having a good time, then rolled it and, you know, whatever. But the point is that on the way back, I see this, you're going there and back on the corner, there was a gentleman holding up a sign, yardsalewatch.com. And I go, okay, let's go check this out. So I had Donna go, go check this out, see if we can get this guy on. I want to talk about the app. I want to talk about, you know, creating an app, promoting the app, and what the app does and how much it's going to, before I even load it onto my phone, you know, how much access to all my data it's got to have, okay, and why. Because a lot of these things are usually they're just, you know, data accumulator, I'm going to sell and gotten, you know, and thanks for playing. Or, you know, it's a community around certain things like Peacekeeper and all these other opportunities for you to be able to take care of yourself and, you know, I pushed it. Instead of calling 911, they come shoot your dog and off and you. You know, you just do your neighbor, your family, and their next door, and they come and they know who's the good guys and bad guys, and it's better to do that and whatever anyway. And what kind of emergency it is. I mean, you know, these are awesome apps. Now, Yard Sale Watch is, I want to have him describe it, but I can see how it could become a community, because whenever you do a yard sale or a carport sale, man, there are people doing business this way. This is it, man. They just go and glean a whole bunch of stuff and keep, you know, have people coming in, rotating and putting on their nice little corner yard sale that they got, and something they bought here for $5, they sold for 15, you know, 15 minutes later. You know, so this I can see is going to have a community, and it's an opportunity. So let's go ahead and introduce Mr. David Bailey. David Bailey. Wait. No, I'm going to read your bio, man. And then we'll get into it. You know, he's here in the last segment. We're talking with Paul Snow. He was nice enough to come on and talk to us about what's going on in the Caribbean. And, you know, he understands my position. I like Paul. We get along fine. But I'm just way more hell no dealing with the man. And it looks like New York is going, there's going to be Bitcoin. You know, that's going to be interfacing with the system and kissing crypto butt of whatever. But there's a lot that's not. This is above the cloud stuff. We're going to have to peek our head above the cloud and see what the hell is going on. But David got a dose of that. I was born in Missouri as David Bailey, moved to Arizona at the age of 13, went to school at North Canyon, graduated there in 98. Okay, so he's relatively young and not real old here. So we go, from there I joined the Navy and was stationed in Japan for 4 years on the USS Kitty Hawk. I got out in 02, went to college at the Art Institute of Phoenix for game art and design. Got my bachelor's. I was fortunate enough to work on my first video game with a company called Rocket City Studio, I've heard of them, in Huntsville, Alabama. He worked on a game called Second Chance Heroes. Now I am currently just promoting my yard sale watch phone app. Now, your computer skills came from what? I mean, if you go into Art Institute of Phoenix and game design and so on, did that give you access to learn how to do apps?
Actually, I didn't actually create it. It's my idea, and I paid somebody to make it for me.
Even better. That's what I do. You know. Okay. So the concept, you went to someone that was a friend, or you hired a company? How did you do it?
I worked on a game called Pub Run. It's for the iPad. And the programmer that I worked on the game with, I asked him if he could help me make an app for yard sales.
And he said, the answer is always yes. It's just how much.
He said, yeah, basically, yeah. He wanted... He lowered his prices basically for me and stuff like that.
So when did you get it done?
It started like in June. So he worked on it for like 2-3 months to get it out.
How are you promoting it? Just standing on the street sign, doing your spinning yard sale thing?
That just started maybe right before the Super Bowl. Like the day before the Super Bowl, yeah. I saw my opportunity. I made a sign. Say, hey, this is the best time to go out there and stand. There's going to be a lot of people out there.
So how's that? Did it change traffic?
Actually, yeah. A lot of people started going to the site. And but before that, I had a commercial on Dave Pratt.
Really?
Yeah, I had contacts. And then
Dave Pratt is a popular DJ here that now has his own network, a double-wide radio. It's kind of like Vanity Radio thing and so on. But he used to be the Red Rocker, a morning show of Donna and I on our way. I have the old Red Rocker cards, remember they used to have, back when they were paper.
I heard about those.
It was Red Rocker. So anyway, so he's a popular Valley personality that you started marketing on that. So what's been, have you been doing banner ads on the internet, or what's your best marketing so far? You got my attention on the street here.
I go to Facebook and I go to groups for yard sales, and I just start hitting, like, I go through every state and start trying to see if they have a group for yard sales, and I go there and I copy and paste and say, hey, I got this app for yard sales, come and check it out, it's free.
Okay, now let's talk about this. Before we even get into the app, which is cool, by the way, but I mean, thanks. I loaded it. Because I want to know. I could do it right now, and it's going to say, we need access to your DNA samples. What does it want?
I asked for notifications. It asks if you want to do notifications, and asks you if you want to share your location. And as far as I know, that's it. Like I said, I didn't develop it. So.
Okay, so it's who owns it? Is it you?
It's mine. I own it.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go in here. We'll do yard sale. Go ahead and tell the people how it works. Because one thing that was cool about it is, say, I go, because I'm familiar with, I said something to you, and I saw it, I go, yeah, it's like kind of like Waze. You go, like, what? But anyway, Waze is a traffic thing, and they just go in, and, there's a cop there, and there's, you turn it on, everybody's marking where all the police officers are, or where the traffic is, or where the pothole. They were doing, in Philadelphia, when I first saw it, man, you got potholes marked because they were swallowing pickup trucks, okay? Right. No, I mean dump trucks. I'm not kidding. Wow. So anybody had a little lowrider kind of suspension and everything, they really needed it because they're blowing out their suspension all the time. So I'm going, this is kind of cool. People actually reporting. So then when I saw your thing, I go, I know exactly how this is going to work. People take pictures. They post it. Yeah. They say, well, how cool this is. They show, I got my stuff. Now I'm posting what's left up here. Come get it, you know? So I can see how this would become a popular app community. Maybe we can help after we find out how much surveillance you're going to do. And then we'll talk about the app process, Play Store, and all that. More with David Bailey, Yard Sale app. You know what? YardSaleWatch.com.
Thanks.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Hey,
is we're going to go ahead and download this. I just ran out of space onto my freaking whatever. So anyway, Donna, we're going to take over some of the 1,500 videos off of my phone. But I'm loading up on Donna's phone the app for Yard Sale Watch. Okay. Now, the first thing I want to do is I go, okay, let's go ahead and load this up. Now, what does it say? It says, needs access to identity, location, photo media files, camera. And I know what the location, because it wants to tag the pick, you know, where these yard sales are when you, you know, hit it and it goes at and this is where it is. Then you have, and it puts little icons on maps and all that kind of stuff. I can see how that'd be useful. Photos and media files. I'm going, okay, well, you got to take a photo, you know, and it puts it up. So I guess something in there, and then they'll, you know, whatever. And then the camera, of course, and your identity. Well, let's do a little drop down that. Uses one or more of accounts on the device profile data. All right, whatever that means. Uses the device's location. Uses one or more files on the device, such as images, videos, or audio, the device's external storage. All right. Camera uses the device's cameras. All right. So I, you know, it's not as bad as most. So I go accept, install. So it's downloading. How large a file is this?
That's an awesome question.
Okay, let's see. It's 4.96 mega, so it's 5 megabytes, so it's not that big. So let's see. It has some downloads here. Something open. All right. So let's go to it. Yard Sale Watch. Da-da-da. Then it goes in, and I'm going to do, if you post a picture that are not yard sale related, you will be banned from using Yard Sale Watch.
Yeah, I was just afraid of people, you know, posting inappropriate pictures and things like that.
Yes,
so.
They would. Okay. You know what I mean? Okay, so who manages this? Who watches it? You go, whoa, no. I didn't know Fascinations or the, you know, Castle Boutique was having a yard sale, okay?
I'll go in and I'll delete it personally, so.
All right, well, see, you got to, you know, that's how much time you're spending on deleting, you know, a little too much. You got auto recognition of a Chinese firm of sitting there in their bank of looking at your pictures. So sooner or later. I mean, it's good. Right, you're doing this nationwide, worldwide. They're going to be, oh, heck, you might even have, that'd be good, get go viral. They go, it's our new media platform. We have a commercial that's played on here that says something like, yeah, it used to be, you know, Moose's in Heat, you know, comment section that became the new internet of everybody's posting there or something. You just give an open place where people just go. It'll just become its own thing. Like, you know, cat. A pulse into, you know, cactus or something, man. It is all over it. You know, so I'm just wondering how you, as you get successful, it's going to be more difficult to manage than you think.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid how people might use it. I'll just leave it like that.
Okay. So, you know, be nice. If you make many posts that are not yard sale related, you will get banned from using it. We want strong community of real posting. I totally agree. Okay, I agree. Okay, now username, Facebook login. Is anything not Facebook? I mean, golly.
It's perfect. Right. Everybody uses it.
All right, so tell me how this is used. I download this, and I'm driving around, and why would I use this?
So basically, there's a lot of yard sales out there that people don't put on the internet. And I thought it would be best if, you know, as you walk outside your house and you see that your neighbor's having a yard sale, help them out. You know, just press that blue house button on the app and pin it. The app does everything for you. You just got to press a button. That's it.
Okay. So it just, you know, because it has the location, you know, it just kind of locks it in or something?
Yeah, it already has your location. So you just got to press the blue house button and then ask you if you want to do details, like add photos and information. And that's it. And when you press that button, the other users actually get notified instantly through text.
All right, Donna, I'm logging in all your password stuff. Come over here and see what I did. I'm doing your name like that. And then your traditional password there of everybody knows, nobody cares thing. Okay. So I'm going, we're not into this, you know, 400 character crap on everything. So I go join here. Now, what am I joining?
Just a parse database. It's just the database they use to keep track of passwords and logins.
Okay. So an email is required. So I'm going to put your personal one, Donna. Okay. Why do you need an email?
To recover passwords, I believe.
Okay, I recover passwords, and my email is there on a list of... You got a lot of emails.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
But a lot of people use Facebook and things like that, so that's what I use. I use Facebook.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, this is a, you know, that's one of the things that I'm finding that the apps that you do is we're looking at in the space a lot of services that are available, and even if it costs or is it free or whatever, and a lot of times you're giving up something. So if I've given up my email, you got a lot of yard sale watching and doing people email. That would be valuable.
It would. I don't know if I can legally do anything with that. So.
No, give them to me, and I'll find out.
Oh, jeez.
You know, this, you know, which I, hey, man, I didn't collect them. So I go, all right, so now it's showing, okay, it's showing where I am. And if I go house, street sign, add yard sale, I go and I hit add. All right, let's say I saw a street sign. You're putting where the signs are to the yard
exactly.
Sale.
So, like, if you're too busy, you're on your way to work, but you see a street sign, you know, want to give people, like, a starting point, you just click that red house button or the red street sign button and let people know where that street sign's at.
And then I can just take a picture and it uploads and it puts a picture of the actual thing or the sign or where it's at and it gets the location.
For that, I don't expect people to take pictures. They just, you know, press the button, let people know what the sign's at and then go on their way.
What were the pictures for?
For that's mostly if you're at the yard sale itself, you know, you're going to go to the yard sale and buy whatever items, and then you take pictures of their stuff if they allow you, or if you have the yard sale yourself, then you take pictures of that.
Okay. I can see this cool idea.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, I can see with the right kind of promotion and all that kind of stuff, it'll take off. Okay. But what's your revenue stream? I'm going to make money. I'm going to have 1 million users, and it costs me only $1,000 a month.
I heard that I need to at least make 5,000 a month. I need 500,000 users.
Why? Oh, because you got an add-on.
Because I got an add-on there. So, like, every time they use it, the more people they use it, the more money I'll get.
Okay, now these ads, and they're doing in the Play Store. So you applied for, you know, general who cares somebody ad.
I went to, it's called Flurry, Flurry.com, and I guess they're connected with the Yahoo. And so there's like a line of code that you put in for the ads.
But so, you could you sell your ads? I mean, how much you get? You're like, you know, almost nothing to nothing. I mean, what if I just said, yeah, screw them, and here's Freedom's Phoenix and my Bitcoin Summit of Freedom Summit of something. Declare you're in. I give you money more than what they'll do is do that.
I'm still thinking about that.
Can you do that?
I guess I can. Yeah, I just got to talk to the programmers and make it happen.
See, because I'm an international, national, I can do kind of promote from the little, you know, bedroom of. I don't care, you know? So, how much you making from Yahoo? Not enough, screw up.
Not enough.
Okay? So, this is, see, that would be incentive for us to promote something like this, and they get some, like, you know, real information.
Some trade-off.
Well, I'm interested, and I'm sure the audience is too, is how this process goes from doing an app to submitting it to the revenue stream of it and the data that's accumulated and how valuable that is. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. What are we going to do? Yard sale watch. You know, I'm like, you know, what's your revenue stream on this? How are you making money? Well, we did this little ad thing at Yahoo and kind of sort of we create and all these people and they get to make a lot of money and let me have a little bit of it and that's very nice of them. And I'm going, no. How much you got? Oh, a little bit, you know. So I go, no. You need to sell me an ad at the bottom. I tell you what, I'll trade out. We'll put it in all our editions and all our pages and all the top of the dispatch and everything. Kind of, we'll see what, you know, give me a month. Let's just see what we can do. Let's see what. Because see what?
I could do a month. The thing is, I just gotta talk to my programmers.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
You do.
Every little change costs money. You know what I mean. So.
Well, you know the thing is, if you have the actual ownership of the program, I mean, is it yours?
No, it's mine. It's all mine.
I got 15 gazillion guys that can do it.
They can go
do it better, make it, and kind of fix their Uber and done.
It's a lot of
for free. Because it's for me. okay?
Okay.
Or I'll pay him. See, the reason I think, one, it's a good idea. Two, it's not super Uber surveillance. You know, we want your contact so that we can, that's one thing I'm always concerned about, you know, getting the contact. But you are getting the email. So I'm going, okay, well, if all these emails get an update from you and the ad of whatever, and it has, you know, a place for Freedom's Phoenix, I'm all over it. You know, we have, you know, we do like the pedal cabs at the Super Bowl. We had all those pedal cabs around, you know, like eight of them, a bunch of them had, you know, Freedom's Phoenix stuff or the Bitcoin Summit and all that kind of, you know, I look for the cool stuff. You know, hey, Ernie, you didn't pay, you know, $2 million for the getting on the big good thing. And I go, yeah, but I was in all those pedal cabs going around everywhere. Like I saw you on the corner.
Exactly.
Okay. See, that's all alternative. So I'm looking for, to help you because I think it's a cool idea and it's a good opportunity for me, and you are national. You know, listen, but I think you're going to run into situations. You're going to need somebody that's not just, you know, keep charging you for everything all the time, or at least we can do some trade out. We can be friends.
I can try that. I'm willing to try that.
The answer's always yes. It's just okay. How much, and you get to retain ownership, and we just kind of rent it for a little, promote it, and it goes up, and then who's your new best friend?
You are.
That's right. That's right. Well, tell us more about you. I mean, how old are you?
I'm 34.
34. You went to college to learn graphic design or making games or doing something. What's your expertise?
I went to school for 3D graphics. I do 3D models and, you know, like Pixar and stuff like that. Like the stuff you see in like those 3D movies, that's what I do.
Okay.
I make computer graphics.
No. We got other trade stuff going on here. Okay, wait. All right, now I know the audience, they're going, I already know what Ernie's going to do. All right. The audience, I want you to imagine this. You look at the logo for Freedom's Phoenix. Let's take a look at this. Freedom's Phoenix has the bird, okay, that... stop script. Do this. And we go up to the top here. Now, Freedom's Phoenix, the bird itself, what I always wanted to do is we got new art, we got new this, we got radio and audio and kind of and graphics and all that kind of stuff, and everything's cool. But what do I want? I want that bird to be in an animation. Let me describe it to you. As you have the camera kind of comes in on beautiful green Mediterranean eyes of a woman, and then it kind of turns green, turns into the eyes up close of Statue of Liberty. The drone kind of pulls back. It sees the arm. It goes up to the torch. You see the torch flaming in it. It kind of starts to die down. All of a sudden, poof, little whiff the smoke comes up. The flame of Liberty's torch is out. Oh, my goodness. Winds of Liberty blow the ashes. Poof, the Phoenix comes back out. Boom! Shoots off like a reverse meteor shooting star into space. You got the view from space. Here comes this craft up. You're zooming in on the cockpit window and you get, and it's a face shield, and then the shield comes up and you see the eyes of the original girl. We're going to space and government's not invited.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, it does. You have the capability. The answer was always yes. It's just how much?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, but the capability is there, or not?
You show me the quality that you want, and I can tell you if I can match it.
See, this is it. So the thing is, we're looking for this. This is what I've been, you know, if I trade out there, upgrade to that, man, I'm all over it, you know. And maybe we can get just a little bit of something, a little bit. Maybe do stick figure version.
If you want the Phoenix, like, flapping the wings and stuff like that, I could do that. I can do some little animations.
Or just do one kind of, you know, like Mockingjay, you know, and the, you know, the what do you call it, Hunger Games. Yeah. And just kind of, and give me that animated GIF logo kind of thing. You can do that?
I could do that.
I can make a GIF. Okay, call it GIF. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm going, all right. See, we got something to talk about. We can trade out. See, this is how we do all this stuff. For years, I've been doing this with guys just like you, but I get mine, and then I give you.
Okay.
You know, we can get you some promotion.
As long as you send me, like, an example of what you want, the quality, then I'll see if I can do it.
The highest I can get away with. Anyway, so we'll go ahead, and we'll work on it. We'll talk about it. But, you know, what was your expectation in creating this app? You thought, you know, it's been since this last summer. You got it on there, and you're like, or are we just going to automatically just look for yard sale, and they'll just download it?
Actually, to be honest, I assumed in 2 months I would have, like, 200,000 people.
Why?
It's
because it's a cool idea.
It's a very cool idea. People love it. When I go to yard sales, they love it.
You know, I would think that it's just a simple, cheapy business card flyer, something going to all the parking swaps.
I go
to the parking swaps. That's what, hell, they go to the yard sales to get their crap to sell at parking swap.
Actually, yeah, a lot of them do. Hold on one second. Let me show you. This is what I hand out to people.
Okay, we got a piece of paper here, and it says on one side, put on my glasses. It says, if you see a yard sale or have a yard sale, use yard sale watch to instantly put your location to the map and let people know about it with a click of a button. Phone app, yardsalewatch.com. Man, this is good enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's handed to them. You know, I don't have to, you know, I guess they don't have to remember what it is. I just give it to them and they can read it later. And stuff like that. So,
you know, I, you know, obviously you're like new to it. You kind of came up with a good idea, knew somebody do it. You just, you know, this is what I like. Yeah, no idea. You just did it because I can do it.
Yeah, I'm still like right now, as right now, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to a radio show. This is amazing. I'm still like new at it. I have no idea. So,
you know, I like that. It's just, I, because I can. And you just do it. You know how much I learned doing that? You know how much money I wasted doing that? But the thing is that, you know, you learn a lot. Even the whatever you spend on this, the value of just the education of this is amazing, and you have a good idea to keep. I tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be somebody, oh, we want to buy and help with your app, and it's ours now. You know? Are there competition? Is there something else like it?
No, and that's the awesome thing because...
it's amazing.
When I had that idea, I actually went to the app store and looked at the other apps for yard sales, and I found a lot. I was like, oh man, I might as well not even do it. But then I started investigating what these apps do, and they actually just pull from Craigslist. So they pull from other, maybe I shouldn't say that, but they pull from other sites, and they have the other sites do the work for them. And my app is totally different. Is I don't pull from sites, I pull from the users. I let the users create the content. So it's all about what the users see.
Yeah, I can see some benefit in that. I'd like to, because I think it's a cool idea. One less thing I got to do, you know, that we can work together on something. I at least, you know, trade out a little something for something.
Yeah.
We let our developers look at it and see what we can do, and kind of they help you out. Because if you're counting on Yahoo, you know, yeah, it's probably not going to work out for you as well. But it'll get to the point where you got a gazillion that then you may want to do some kind of marketing like that. What you need is partners that will help you promote to get to that point. Then you'd say, hey, I don't need you anymore, screw you, and then you go on to whatever and become a gazillionaire. But don't forget your friends.
That's what everybody says. it's funny because I want to go to these yard sales. They say, you know, they love the idea, and they go, well, you know, probably next time I see you, you'll probably be driving a Benz. And I just smile, man, and I'm like, that'd be awesome, you know.
And I you know, away. This is how it's done. I tell you what, you don't have a staff. It's like you got, you know, this guy, and you're out there, you know, showing signs and going around and visiting and doing it yourself,
hustling,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we need to make better use of your time. You know, this is a, you know, this is, I've been exactly where you're at. I'm, you know, 53 years old. I had the entrepreneur. I had all kinds of been restaurant and do offered certain kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
And it always goes through. I worked a lot harder than I needed to if I knew where to go and get hooked up. And the main thing is you want to maintain control. You want to make sure it's yours, because you do all this work and then somebody else gets it. But you're for sale. $100 million will do it.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
too good, too something. They're gonna, you're gonna take. I know it's a, you're the evil empire. Something's gonna, somebody, something. You know, because I'm sure you've had a lot of people that thought they go, wow, man, this is a good idea. How could I get in on some of that without any effort or cost? And it's mine now.
I've had a few. I wish it was, you know, bigger, but I've had a few.
Yeah, a few. There'd be a few. I tell you what, it comes down to is when you hit. When we hit our first 5,000, it started. Certainly when we hit 10,000 downloads, we have a couple of apps that we're associated with. You know, one is Freedom's Phoenix, and then Silver Calculator is under that account, and Cop Block, and Zero Gov, and there's a bunch of others. But the main thing is that it's the Freedom's Phoenix one and the Silver Calculator. When you hit over 10,000, everybody wants to be your friend. You know, they say, hello, we're going to market and do it, and you know what you need to do? You need to this and do it and kind of accumulate and gotten, and it's ours now. And I go, nah, I'm good. But the thing is that I don't want to take any control or have anything. Hey, I just want you to get help. You know, we got some developers that can go in and go, yeah, well, you can do this and fix this and add this, and then it's done. And you go, well, how do you? I go, I don't know. Do you know? No, you got people. Yeah, have my people talk to your people. We're all peopled up. You know, but just do it. Because I think it's a good idea, and it's national. And it has, you know, the kind of people that we're looking for in this agorist marketplace, this agora, this free market that doesn't have permission slip of nothing. And what represents that better than a freaking lemonade stand, Craigslist, and yard sale? See my point? So I go, this is, I go, do you take silver? And, oh, I put it in there. You go, and here's a silver calculator app, and this yard sale takes silver. You got to put it in there. They take alternative currencies, Bitcoin, silver, you see my point? You put that in there, and like, all the Bitcoin guys go over there. Oh, Airbit's a Bitcoin app, wallet application. You could have an interface with them and also have a feed that the people that have yard sales that take Bitcoin. Ah!
Is that happening yet? I don't know. Is that going on yet?
Hell no! That's why you're going to take advantage of it. No, they have an app that shows where all people that take Bitcoin as merchants.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay, it's already there. Listing, why not have, you know, kind of a side list of you got in yard sales?
We can work on that.
That is awesome. That, you feel
we
me?
Talk, we could talk about that.
Somewhere else. I know there's a bunch of developers out there going, hey, Ernie. Pick me! Okay, so we'll talk about this because I think it's interesting just to demonstrate where this technology can go of having these applications, being able to create communities nationwide that are saving money and recycling products and reusing and repurposing and I can go and see. They could even have, are there options on there for the yard sale to list items? I mean, if people
That's the next thing. I have a lot of future things I want to do when I actually get money from it. I want to add the ability to add movies. You can, like, film your stuff, you know, instead of just having pictures, you can film it. I want to have it to where you can list it. I was thinking about doing instant messaging where people could promote it live.
You know, that's awesome. You know,
I shouldn't say this.
Shouldn't say what?
Well, I don't know. You know, future things I want to do. Maybe I shouldn't put it out there. You know,
but they don't have yard sale watch.
Hey, that's true.
That's true. Okay, so the promotion of that. See, I can see a lot of things in here. It's like Craigslist. They take a picture. They give a description. They put it on there. Contact me. Well, you can do the same kind of interface. Go, yeah, you can do it. It costs you a buck. You want to have this access to this account. You pay, you know, $5 a month or whatever, and you can post whatever. Or it costs you a dollar for every item you put in the yard sale. Come get my thing, you know, or something. There's a lot of opportunities to make money here.
Yeah, at first I was going to charge a dollar, but then I was reading that, hey, if people don't know about it, they might be weary. They're not going to try it. So, you know, that's why I wanted to do it free. And
no, I do it free, but then charge for some of the upgrade services. You know, I want to promote it. But none of that matters until you get bunch of downloads.
Yeah. It's slowly growing.
Yeah, but it's slowly. Not. I mean, you got to PR it, man. You got to pimp it. I can get you on TV.
Oh, really?
And look at you, man. That's what you're on radio now.
I'm still nervous, but.
I'm telling you, I like having someone with a good idea, and the biggest thing was just the confidence just to do it. You know, a lot of times there's 15 gazillion hurdles of why you can't, and then you just did. Because, one, you're not super uber geek, educated business law grad of kind of, you just had an idea, I want to do it. Tell me about the beginnings of the idea and the first step you took to start implementing this app going down that road.
Well, I guess I should say why I did it. I'm a big video game collector. I love video games. And I heard the best place was yard sales. And so I started looking for them. Anyways, I was like, as I'm finding these yard sales, I'm like, well, it'd be awesome if I can tell people about where these yard sales are at. Sometimes they're hard to find. Sometimes the sign's not correct and stuff like that, so they're hard to locate.
And you want to be able to go yard sale that has video games?
Well, I mean, in the background, that's like my
goal. There.
You know, so it's like, yeah, I want, you know, it's like me look at when people post and they post pictures, I can go look through and, oh, they got video games? Okay, I want to rush over there and grab some. I'm a big geek in that kind of manner.
Okay. See, boy, that's always some motivation to do it. So you just talked to guys, and you knew somebody that did app development.
Well, one of the last games I worked on was for the iPad, and one of the program that worked on it with me, I just contacted him. And I say, he's overseas. I'm like, I got this idea for an app, and basically, he's like, this is how much I'll charge you.
Was it billions of dollars?
I was getting paid every week, and it was like half my paycheck for a very long time.
Wow.
So I took the chance, man. I took the chance. I'm still taking the chance.
I mean, you know, the fact that it's been in the summer. Were you out in the freaking heat with a sign in the summer?
No, that just started because it took a while for Android and iPhone to come out. It took a while, months. And so now it's like finally out, and I can fully try to promote it the best way I can. So now that's why I'm like with the sign and stuff.
You know, that was very cool, and I kind of got that idea. You know, I'm going, wow, this is a neat idea. Is this you? Donna Contact. I want to see if it's the same guy that's out there. And during the Super Bowl, you know, because, yeah. I mean, why not? You got 15 gazillion people traveling to go into the state. You're saying, yep, I'm going to stand right. So you live probably around here, not too far.
I live pretty close, maybe 20 minutes from here, so... Yeah.
Well, what were you doing up here then?
I was nervous. I was like, just nervous. I mean, I don't want to go too early. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
No. I mean, the reason you chose that location.
For over there? Was it 43rd and Thunderbird, I think?
Yeah.
There's a swap meet over there. It's the indoor swap mart. So I went there to see if it's open. And they're actually closed. And I'm like, well, I'm here. I might as well grab my sign and go to the corner.
Yeah, no. See, I'm like, you go to the yard sales. You go to the parking swaps. You go to these little flea markets. You go to the indoor, outdoor kind. This is perfect for that. Because these guys, I'm going, hey, didn't you just buy that at my thing? You're over there. Hell, they even buy inside the show. You know, they'll go and buy something, just run it right over, you know, to their thing and mark it up X percent. And that's how they start off with a blank table, and they go around early, get all the cool crap, and they put it up there. They're cool. You know, so this is a very useful tool as we go into the zombie apocalypse of the dollar goes away. But I can see to where this would also benefit greatly from people that took alternative currencies. Do they take silver, gold, Bitcoin? You know, if you add that, you know, we can hook you up.
It's maybe, boy.
Why not?
I gotta educate myself more on that stuff before I commit.
Oh, we're gonna, you know, I tell you a thing that you can do to get educated. BitcoinSummit.info! Bitcoin Summit, it's on Pi Day, 3.1415. So it's March 14th at the Sheridan Crescent down there on Dunlap and I-17. Okay, resort down there. We're going to go ahead and have a Bitcoin Summit. You're going to get the boys. We'll be hooked up. If you go, I'll give you a five-minute opportunity to launch presentation of look at my cool crap, who wants to help? I'm going to hook you freaking up.
I imagine it right now. I'm not taking my computer down there and, you know, hooking up to my phone.
All right. We'll do this I just want the audience to know, I do this all the time. You guys know a lot of these guys I help and do. I think it's a cool idea, and how can I benefit, you know? And I think I can benefit a great deal by just being associated with such and you can help direct it, too, not be too communist, you know? Just go ahead and not, you know, have to interface with the blah, 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 get a permission slip from the man kind of crap, you know, that we could just do this and create a community of people going out, because we do it with Farm Match. You know, we do the farms and people looking to get fresh food from people that grow it in their backyard and everything. Farm Match, I thought that was an awesome idea. We all promote that. That did well. We do Silver Calculator. Boom. That gets out. That does well. You know, we have a lot of the other stuff in the Bitcoin space and different events that we do in Freedom. And a guy that came up with... YardSaleWatch.com. Go check it out. It's just getting started. How can we help with this and make sure that, it, you know, uses alternatives. You know what I mean? Because we're going to need just this kind of app. David Bailey, we're going to have some more news on this relationship in the future. You watch.